For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. And welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. It's a fun show. The Jew is late, but luckily we have a very special guest in studio with us, everybody. He's got a Comedy Central special coming out this Friday night. Big J. Oakerson, everybody. Welcome to the show. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for having me.
Legion of Skanks in the house. Very excited to have you on.
Now we've had two of three.
Yeah.
It's only one we haven't had from Legion
of Skanks. So let's get into this special. When's it air? Friday. And tell us about it, because you were kind of telling us outside, and it was...
Yeah,
sounds pretty exciting.
Friday at midnight on Comedy Central, I believe on both coasts at midnight. It's we did it at Webster Hall. It's titled Live at Webster Hall, and we tried to make it a rock show, man. I said I don't know. It took 17 years to get it, so I didn't know if another one's going to happen. So we went like.
So you've been doing comedy for 17 years?
Yeah.
What age did you start?
19.
My God, dude. Congratulations.
Well,
that's,
thank you, man.
That's when you're getting in the zone, because I'm in that, too. I'm, like, in about almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable to believe that's 20 years.
It does fly by, because you remember every day like it was yesterday. Like, nothing seems like it was that far or long ago. It's funny to do it long enough, too, where, like, young comics, like, know you and, like, look up to you in some way, because you're just like, oh, I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, don't look up to me.
I still learn lessons, which...
Yeah.
Shocks and scares me at times. You're like, 20 years into something, you should have it understood, but I still learn little things that make it better. And
sure.
But just think about, at 17 years, getting this special, how good you are now.
No, that is a big thing, too, and I'm a believer in that because I've watched it happen to people over the years. Like, I tell, you know, younger comics who are friends of mine who don't get, like, Montreal... 1 year, you know, and they've been doing it for like 6-7 years. I tell them, I go, dude, when you get it, though, you're going to be another year ready. You know, all those things are so much more prepared. If I got an hour 10 years in, maybe I wouldn't look back on it and like it so much, you know, like, because you always kind of in hindsight, like my half hour special that I did in 2008, I look at very like, I like it, like it's fun, it's good.
Right.
But like, you know, I do a Maury Povich joke, you know what I mean? Like things where you're like,
right.
Things I would change if I could
right.
go back, you know.
Right, right.
Ronald Reagan impression. And
yeah.
Well, it's like as you get older, you
like
get
Christopher
deep...
Walken chunk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chunk.
I feel bad for people who do impressions because it's like everybody's just pretty now. How
yeah.
do you do an impression of pretty?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's like there's not a lot of like personality out there to do impressions of. Of course, you got your Vince Vaughns and stuff like that. But most people are just like. They're famous because they're very good looking.
Have you watched that impression show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I had a couple people on it.
It's I have known a couple people on it too, but it's a really poorly like put together show. I
every
guess
every show is they do it wrong. You can see a concept, and you're like, oh, that could be cool, and then just even remember Mining the Store.
Yeah,
that could have been yeah. gold.
Yeah.
And they just turn it into something.
Well,
like,
it was supposed to be about the you know what goes on at the Comedy Store, but. But Paulie decided he wanted to make it about him and his sex addiction.
Yeah.
And he was like going on the road eating pizza with comics.
Making Mark Hatchell his slave.
It was like really weird, man. Really weird.
Making Mark Hatchell his slave.
Am I logged in here?
Did.
Are we logged in? Yeah. So if we get calls, it'll come up? Uh-huh. All right, cool. So you were kind of talking about your special a little bit, and it sounds really cool because... You know, I know you do a lot of crowd work. I like yeah. to do crowd work, and it's always, how does that work in a special, and it's a very delicate thing to do. Ian Bagg does a lot.
Yeah.
Michael Koss is really good at crowd work. He did one in his half an hour. How did it go?
It was great. They kind of let me, like, turn me loose and everything. I had, you know, they give you a teleprompter with, like, the bullet point words for
the jokes
that I said I would do, because it is nice to kind of, like, weave in and out with that. But they built the stage out into the audience for me pretty low so I could be kind of with the people and able to, like, very much see them and everything and incorporate them. They let me do it. It took a while. I mean, it was, like, from concept to them saying I can do the special, for them giving it to me, was, like, 3.5 years.
Wow.
Like, I sat down with them, and I was like, let's produce, not let's, you guys should produce the first uncensored, like, only after midnight. Don't worry about, early, you know, playing it earlier or
yeah,
censoring it up. Kind of crowd work involved comedy special, and they just came back right away with, like, it's not going to work because advertising, they want to be able to air it at 10 p.m.
They want their cake and eat it too.
Sure. And,
which I understand.
Which I did too. I was kind of like, all right, then I guess I got to figure it out kind of on my own, or Netflix or something, just try to figure out something, some way to do it, self produce it.
Because you were so hell bent on, I want to do it this way or I don't want to necessarily
I want to, it's the same reason I don't do much late night stuff. You know, I did Fallon when it was the Fallon show.
Yeah.
Once, and that was like 5 months of work trying to get it so everyone would be okay with it, so I could be happy with what I was doing.
Yeah.
And
please everybody.
Play
you
by their rules.
And the people run the show.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm never trying to, like, dick anybody over. I don't know if there's, like, much nobility in that, and, like, you say you'll play by the rules and then fuck them over, you know?
Yeah, I never really understood that. There's no point in doing that.
Yeah, that's why I said I feel like the...
Hey, do this.
That guy on Last Comic Standing a few years back that got into it with, like, Roseanne and stuff, and it's like, yeah, you sure showed them. It's like, just don't go on the show.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I did Last Comic Standing a couple years back when it was Geraldo, actually, was one of the judges. And I had a great set that the producers told me to do a certain bit. They were like, yeah, do it. You could say those words. And it was. It wasn't dirty words, but the concept was very dirty. And when it was over, they said they didn't move me on because the joke was too dirty. And I was pretty pissed.
You told me to do the joke. Yeah.
And then Geraldo just said, he called me, like, later, like, he's like, man, I'm really sorry. He goes, I thought you just kind of, like, went and tanked it. I mean, he didn't know. You know what I mean? He goes, I thought you went and just kind of tanked it and said, I'm just going to go fucking kill and fuck this show. And I was like, no. Like, if I agree to do something, like, I'll play by the rule. It is what it is.
Disrespect.
You know? On my radio show, we do a sleep number bed read. They gave us an awesome bed. But their thing was like, hey, if you're going to, we'll sponsor the show, but our reads have to be clean. Like, they have to be like Disney clean. You can't curse. You can't talk about fucking in the bed or anything.
Yeah.
And we were like, we talked about it. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that.
I respect that because I
feel
the same
way. Play by the rules if you're going to play by the rules. I love being what I am and being dirty and all that stuff. Like, you know, not PC, but don't say you're going to do something. You're not a hero if you say you're going to do something and fuck them over.
You know, there's a lot of people's jobs on the line and names on the line. And it's like you go up there and you fuck everybody. And then it's just, what do you really do? And then nobody wants to work with you again.
I never had a problem with that. One time I went to one of those college, you know, years ago, you know, where you perform and they try to book you all those colleges. And so many of those colleges came up and they would just say, you know, it's like, I'd love to book you, but the person in charge is like, you know, they're going to get mad if we bring, like, a dirty comic out to the stool. And I go, I get it. It's fine. But I don't want to come to your college and try to find a way to be clean if I don't want to do that. So
I got a couple stories about that. First of all, I did the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And I did Craig Kilborn before that and Crush, and they asked me to come right back, and I said no because I wanted to make sure it was good. And then he quit, and Ferguson came on, and they asked me to do it again. And up until the end, they ran my set forever, right? And, like, they get the crowd, the audience going.
Uh-huh.
And they proved my act, and I went up there and I did it. And as soon as I got off, they laid into me. They're like, you said someone wasn't approved. I go, every word I said up there was approved by you guys. And it's just like this weird kind of detached from the person who books you versus the person who is doing the thing. I'm never about, like, trying to burn bridges. I am who I am. I want people to hire me to do my thing. I used to do Tampa Bay Improv, and I love the club, and it's a lot of fun.
cathedral, though, man.
Yeah, it is. It's like, ooh, exactly where did Lincoln get shot here? You know what I'm saying? There's like these weird balconies. But I love the crowd. But, man, the first show Friday night, 80-year-olds in the crowd.
Wow.
And I can do dirty, man. I mean, I can play old people. I can. But when the owner, when the GM, who's a nice guy, comes, guy, keep it super clean, I'm like, I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
I'm just not that guy.
You can't change your act before you go on and put that pressure on you.
And it's going.
Yeah, I can give you like 15 minutes sporadically, but it's like, you booked me. You know, I've done this club 8 times. You know what you're going to get.
And it's always like, I know how to get these guys. Let me do me. Because
and you get him, yeah.
Yeah. And when I realized he'd left, and I kind of, because at first it was just 15 minutes of just white knuckling and just hoping not to piss anybody off.
Yeah.
And then he left, and then I just started wailing on these guys for like the whole next 45, and they fucking loved it.
You know, someone made a good point. Some old people, I was in Miami right before I came out here.
Are there old people in Miami?
Yeah, and I made some comment
Miami's
about
a
few of the old
crowd.
People. But the old people came up to me after the show and actually made a really great point. They go, no, we're fine. The older people are like, well, we're fine with it, with the dirty stuff. They go, we're fine. Like, the PC people are the young people now. That's why it sucks to perform at a college or anything with college, all college. They're
it's
the ones
goddamn
worried about
Twitter police that are constantly trying to fucking rat people out.
The old people, you can make a, you know, you can make an inappropriate joke about trannies to an old person. They're like, ah, yeah, right. They're much more. Yeah.
Well, you also think about this. Like, when you and I started comedy around the same time back in terms of years, you know, you think about who the old people were, though. They were like the teens of the 50s.
Sure.
The 20s and the teens of the 50s, which was the buttoned up, just got back from fighting a war, fought everything serious, we just stopped evil, and it, like, everything was serious. It was a generation after them, which are now the elderly people, who are the like the hippies, the free love, the do drugs, and all. So now it's like, it's a different type of older person compared to what we went up, what were when we started, which was much more conservative, much more like serious. These guys are like, they all had, literally all the people in the crowd, like the senior citizens, literally they all have herpes. That whole generation, just everybody's fucking.
Well, it's our parents. It's our parents. Our parents smoked pot. Our parents fought against the Vietnam War. You know, they were that generation.
Yeah.
It's their parents when we started that were like, the Mad Men, like, you know what I mean? They only said the N-bomb when the door was closed.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like you said, my grandmother would not appreciate my comedy. But, like, my mom does.
Exactly.
Like, my mom and, like, her all her friends come out, they love it. So it is what it is. You know, you say the funny thing you said about the, with them approving your stuff, when I ultimately got Fallon, like 20 fucking third hour, what do you call that, the 11th hour?
Yeah.
The 11th hour, they, came to me, I had a joke about Michael Vick, and they wanted me to change something where I say I'm an Eagles fan, which I thought I knew to get the Roots, because the Roots are his band. You know, I thought they'd get all excited from Philly. And I was like, I'm a big fan of Michael Vick, and I even disclaimer that I know he's done terrible things, but I said, if he scores for my team, like, I don't care, I'll throw him a werewolf and let him, or I'll throw him a dog and let him tear it apart like a werewolf in the end zone. And what they wanted me to say last minute, like, just trying to plug something in, was I'll throw him like a stuffed animal dog and let him tear it apart like a werewolf, which I hated that I had to say. But it was kind of too late, so I kind of agreed. I'm like, okay, and that was bumming me out. When I did the actual show, my mind went on autopilot, and I just said, throw him a dog and let him tear it apart, and it killed in the studio. And when it was over, I went and apologized to the producer. I'm like, hey, I know I wasn't supposed to say that. I just went on autopilot. He was like, no, he goes, it killed in the room. It's fine. And then I realized what that is they're giving so many young, unprepared for any kind of adversity in a set comics, these late night gigs.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing so many 4-year, 3-year, 5-year comics up in that shit that they don't, it's not the standards and practices really. It's they're worried about you not being able to recover in the room. If where you go, if you put like professional comics on there, like, I'm prepared for the crowd to get weird on
they're
a joke.
You can't
and then,
dig
like,
out of a hole.
And then deal back with them. Yeah, it's like, it's like ask them why, you know, it's like, you know, and try to explain it or whatever. I was like, no, that's fine. But it turned out it was nothing to do with, like, standards and practice. It's just, like, we want to make sure you don't upset anybody in the room.
Well, I just did this thing for MTV, and, you know, God bless them. It was they did their best they could. But it was, like, a weird clusterfuck in the sense that the notes you got before you got in there were completely different than the notes you got when you were about to go on. And they're like, oh, yeah, just say. You're like, you just told everybody they couldn't. So I've sent you all this material that is okay. It's good, but it's not the stuff I want to do the rock.
Sure.
So then I'm about to go up on stage. It's Lil Esther than me. And there's this one guy on stage. He's doing his set. Esther's about to go up. I'm about to go up after her. They come up to us, go, cut your act by 5 minutes. I'm like, what? They're like, cut the act by five. I go, what are you talking about? Just cut it, man. We're running out of town. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's just like, okay, now I got to edit on the go. And it just.
I like treating your set like you have it by the minute mark.
Yeah, it's like, so fucking.
I know.
Let's see that one bitch
417.
Take out
this song and that song and this song.
It's just comedy is such a fucking. It's like people, I feel like, don't respect it because they see it at its best. And they're like, oh, this is easy. Like, oh, this I saw you kill at the Comedy Store or wherever in front of 300 people. It's so easy. Come do it here at my picnic, you know, because I want to replicate this very safe environment in this fucking Vietnam environment. And I want the same exact. And it's like two totally different fucking things, man. It's such an interesting.
Did product. Anybody try to hire you to do things that you're like, it doesn't even make any sense?
Yes.
I got offered recently, like a guy I know goes, hey, there's like these like millionaire guys who are going to take a tour of like Madison Square Garden in New York. He goes, and they'll give you like $1,000. They just want a comedian to kind of walk around and like talk about performing like with them. And I was just like, no, man, that sounds like horrible. It's like a weird thing. Like you want me to tour guide somebody from
take a look
like
over
a
here.
Heckling tour guide.
He's like, yeah, but you could do it. You can go up there and just kind of be funny with them. Like it just seems so forced and weird.
And it's
like,
just ridiculous. And by the way, are they hiring for that gig? Because I'm ready to fuck now. Real quick, let's get into our sponsors. Then we'll talk about
sports.
BetDSI.com for all your betting needs, man. Especially with these sports coming up, we got the NBA Finals still going, and we got Copa America, the soccer. Have you guys checked any of that out?
No.
We're doing pretty good. BetDSI.com. Go use Punch Drunk. Get $10 betting cash. It will take about an hour or 2 hours for you to get credited with that $10. But you make it. UFCs are coming up. UFC 2000. We got one this weekend. Roy McDonald versus Stephen. I don't know. Wonder Boy versus Wonder Boy. Should be a great one.
Thompson.
Yeah, Stephen Thompson. Yeah. Wonder Boy. Which I don't know who's going to win that. That's one of those ones you really don't know who's going to win because they're both masters. You know,
McDonald won my respect though on that. That
Lawler fight.
Robbie Lawler fight. That was one of the best fights I've ever seen.
I guess.
I've never seen anything like that.
That towards the end of that, where both their faces are just dented, and they're just looking at each other, and you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, they went for it, man. That's you got to respect that,
yeah.
Man.
100%. I mean, you're just like, good God.
I've been in a...
Stop hitting each other. I've never said that, but I'm watching it. I'm like, just tackle each... No more punches.
I've been in an odd amount of fights in my life, but I've never been looking forward to any of them. I don't like... Like, if I could sign a contract now that says... I'll never be in another fight the rest of my life. I go, great.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you're...
Sucks, man.
How old are you?
38.
38. I'm in my 40s.
I'm 57.
If you're over 35 and you're getting in fights, you haven't learned any lessons in life.
You just got to, yeah.
There's
really,
no reason.
You either have a drinking problem or you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
You have a drinking problem or you're just a dick.
I'm taking martial arts, but it's not really to ever get in a fight. Just
but you just protect yourself, too, is nice. And if there's
get
ever
shape.
A situation, but I mean, there really is like, you're especially at 30, over 35, like you're saying, you're definitely not going to get out unscathed.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be hurt a little also. And
yeah.
What's the goddamn point?
Fighting is for the young and the retarded. That's
really...
my opinion. Fighting for the young and retarded. Go to Caveman Coffee, cavemancoffee.com. Use Punch Drunk. Get 10% off all your coffee needs. And
15.
15. It's up to 15.
Always was.
Coffee. Okay. It's always, and then also go to punchdrunksports.com and use our Amazon links. Click the link and you'll get into it. We're also looking for writers for our website, and we have a really big thing we're about to do with sports podcasts on the website. We'll keep you update on that. Real quick, our Patreon donations. I want to give shout outs real quick to Cody Slate. That's Slaughtlet. $20 donation. Thank you very much. And Cody Butterfield for a $10 donation. Shout out to you guys. Guys, on another show, I'll go through. We'll just go through on what it is you can get from our show, man. If you make donations to help us, we're trying to grow the website. We're trying to grow the sports comedy channel that we're creating. So help us out, man. Anything will help. Even a dollar. We got a couple guys who gave dollars. We're thank you for that. Anything helps, man. So go to Patreon, patreon.com/punchdrunksports. And help us out. Anything will help. We'll get into some of that a little later, but I don't want to go into the details of that right now because we've been talking a lot. Where are you guys going to be? Dates out of the gates. Got anything coming up?
I'm going to be at the Pittsburgh Improv next weekend. Not this one coming up, the following weekend. Just a bunch of stuff. Go to bigjcomedy.com. I have a bunch of dates coming up on the road. I'm on the road a lot now, which is great.
Perfect, man.
Awesome. Yeah. Enjoying that.
Jay, you got anything? These are great dates. You might, if you need any of the bookers of these clubs, just
I will get you their information. I'll be doing the BurtCast. I'm doing Burt Kreischer's podcast tomorrow at 2. So listen for that. I'll be on the Crab Feast at the end of the month. I'm hosting Kyle Ray's storytelling show, the 26th at the Comedy Store. I'll be at the Comedy Store this Saturday night. And I'll be up the Grapevine for the big million cow slaughter. So if you like beef and comedy, come to Kaushewitz next July. Not next July, but the third, two more Julys after July. I'll be headlining Kaushewitz. And, guys, I'm doing my first cruise ship gig. I'm excited for that. I'll be doing 11 shows in 2 days on a Somalian pirate ship. And they're paying me with 10% of whatever we take in the name of Somalia. So come check me out. Also, I'll be at AA meetings all week. If you need to get sober, suck my dick.
Perfect. Great times. A lot of stuff going on. Sports great. How you liking L.A., dude? I want to get into this L.A. comedy, New York City comedy, because I kind of got in some weird kind of battle.
Don't you have any dates coming? You haven't...
Oh, I'm in town these next 2 weeks, so I'm pretty happy. Cool. And
you've been gone a lot lately.
Yeah, I mean,
how
I
Vegas?
Have an announcement coming up. Hopefully, that will lock in. I should know by the end of next week that I'll be making an announcement, so we'll see what happens.
But just so you know, Sam is the king of announcing he has a big announcement coming. So. And then when he announces it, I never know if that's the big announcement I've been waiting for or not.
Yeah. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted.
That being said, I got a big announcement coming up soon. I don't want to talk. Okay. I can't talk about
it
right now.
I think we
all
got big announcements.
I'll let you guys know when it happens, so I'm just, you know, fingers crossed on that.
So,
how was Vegas?
Vegas was great. Yeah. Vegas was great. It was a lot of fun.
I almost came out, but I couldn't. I just had too
much
to do.
I love it, man. It was very funny because I sometimes just let my mind go, and most of the time it works. Couple times.
Usually he's driving when that happens.
Stupid shit. And I opened up with a wife beating joke, like right out of the gate.
Love it.
I'm like, how are you guys doing?
Throw it upstairs, bro.
I'm like, did you win, sir? Oh, you lose it? You probably beat the shit out of her, don't you? Ice the room, dude. The room just ices, dude. And now I have to dig. And like when I was young, I used to love to dig myself in the hole. I literally just throw a grenade, fuck the room up, and then see if I can get them
get
by
them
the end. Now I'm kind of like, why do I want to work so hard?
Yeah.
But man, it was just like.
Yeah, it's like fighting when you're a kid. You're like, when you're in your 30s, you're like, I'm done digging myself a
and
hole.
It was during the NBA finals, which for some.
Where were we at?
I was at the Stratosphere at the LA Comedy Club. Okay. It's a great room. It's like the OR. Mm-hmm. It's like dark as fuck. Nobody could see each other, which is like. Perfect when you're doing like really dirty,
sure.
edgy
Did
shit.
They moved that from Bally? That's when they used to be? Okay.
Yeah, they left because they finally got the bar. It's like, you ever go to a club where the owner doesn't get the bar? I'm like, what are we doing here? I just did a club where they don't have a 2-drink minimum. I'm like, why? What? I'm here to sling drinks. As much as I love telling jokes, I'm really just
trying to make the money for the club.
Yeah, that's really what's
they
all
bring
about.
You back. Yeah.
The bigger bar totals I have, the more likely they'll bring me fucking back.
Yeah, it's true.
I said when they used to not sell all the drink minimums, they were like, hey, man, we like 18 people didn't get the drink minimums. I'm like, give me 36 drinks.
That was great being able to glom off of going on the road with Attell so much for all those years.
Yeah, he took you out all the time, huh?
He brought me out a ton.
What a magic moment that must have been in your comedy
career. I love
career.
That. He's my favorite.
One of my heroes.
He's so amazing, but also like... He just has, like, he taught me a couple things that were important, like, be good to the staff. Mm. That's why I try to do so much crowd work and keep every show different, is
me
because
too,
the
dude.
Staff.
Mix it off.
They like, love that.
I've come back to a lot of clubs when I'm not selling out the room at all because the staff just really enjoyed me, that I kept the shows different, not boring for them, and how good he treats the staff with tipping and just being good to them, and then having a crowd that, like, drinks, and then being with a kind of, like, take some of his audience over to me when I started headlining myself. That's it, man. If you have a drinking crowd,
Bert Kreischer,
cool,
you hear the only
sets
names you
records.
Hear. The only, oh yeah, the only reason, the only people you hear about on the road when you, as a comic, when you go to clubs, are the comics who like everyone hates. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's yep.
Like, and the ones they love, like the in between, is a, but the ones they hate, they are very quick to talk about.
Absolutely,
like, I always ask them who bombed, and forever it was the same guy. I won't say his name, but it was one dude who always bombed, and he's actually a phenomenal comic, but the staff hated him, dude. I'm not gonna
say. There's two names I could always. The only one, the one I won't say because I'm sure people know him around here, but the other one's too big to even give a shit. But whenever you go on the road, man, just like. Mention the word Eddie Griffin and just watch everybody.
Oh, God.
Everybody in the room just goes like, oh, that mother. And then a club worker has to go out and buy five pairs of Air Force Ones. And I'm like, what? They go, every show he wants a brand new pair of Air Force Ones. And I'm like, what the? And that's the thing that Attell taught me because they'd ask him, what do you want in the green room? What do you want? The only thing, quote unquote, above and beyond that he ever asked for is like, he just wanted to be able to smoke inside the green room, cigarettes. He just wanted to, you know, and they never gave him shit about that, but he's just
Chappelle's the same.
He's low maintenance. He doesn't ask for anything special or no, like, no carpet rollout, and he just, like, does his thing.
Simple.
And he kills, and he would sell out. You know what I mean? He sells out the room, and he just asks for nothing. He's not a pain in the ass.
He's my favorite. My theory is you can take your top, he's my favorite. You take the next five of your favorite, and you put those five in a room versus Dave Attell, you tell him to write a joke on anything, I still think Attell could come up
probably
with a funnier joke than the next five guys all working together.
Yeah, I tell you, that was one, and he jumps on, like, the topical subject so quick that it's like, you know, it's only a joke that lasts for a couple weeks, and then he walks away from it, which is so, that I remember, to me, the first time that I was just like, this guy's just fucking amazing was his joke when the night the crocodile hunter died. Which everyone was ready to jump on.
Yeah, sure.
A Crocodile Hunter impression.
Fodder at its finest.
He did no impression. He just goes, the Crocodile Hunter was killed. He goes, or was he murdered? He goes, I'm trying to remember how he put it, but he was like, he goes, I think the crocodile farmed this one out to the stingray. He goes, we all know the Puerto Ricans of the sea with their switchblade-like tail and soft brown eyes that make you want to dance.
Yeah,
like, I think his
great.
Opening, like that night, that was his joke already. I'm like, that's fucking so... Like,
he's
everyone great. Else is just going to go out and do, like, a crikey thing.
He's
and
so great.
He just has a different take on it from everybody. Goes, yeah. He goes, I guess, he goes, and where were the dolphins, our friends of the sea?
Yeah.
I guess they got paid to take a, to turn around for
to
this
turn
one.
To turn the other
yeah,
cheek.
Turn the cheek on this one. And it's like,
great.
That was his joke, like, that night. And
I
like,
love his
wow,
joke
man.
Of...
And he tells it for a week, and then just throws it.
Yeah.
I love his joke about his dog. He's like, one time me and my dog are sitting on the couch, and I was scratching my balls, and I looked over at him, and he was licking his balls, and we made eye contact, and we both started laughing.
Yeah. I he's one of those guys that, like, the punchline's perfect.
Yeah.
Rogan is like
no
that
fat,
too.
No
Bill
fat.
Burr is like that, where you're just like, oh, you can't come up with a better punchline right there.
Yep.
He goes, I'm trying to think it's when I heard him not too long ago, he's like, ladies, what's with the rough hand jobs? He's like, it's all raw and veiny when you're done. It looks like Danny Bonaducci's neck.
Oh,
like, it's such a great impression.
Well, my favorite joke is, like, and I don't even know if he does it anymore. Probably not, but it's about how, like, you ever been on a roller coaster? They say you can't be, you gotta be at least this tall, can't be pregnant, can't have a bad heart condition, which they basically excluded the entire Mexican swinging population.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I want to get into this thing about East Coast, West Coast comics, because I love everybody, and
sure.
I think, like, I don't think, I think in New York, you can get way better, but I don't think a scene, you're either funny or you're not, and a scene
sure.
allows you to get better quicker. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
New York, it's like basically going to a gym that's got a lot more facilities. You know, I think that's all it is. There's a lot more places to get up. You can do it a lot more places in one night because of everything's close. And but L.A., through time, I think what that comes down to, and I'm discovering this over the last, like, 5 years, maybe. When I first came out to L.A., I had that same, like, L.A. sucks, it's awful, it's, you know, the same thing everyone would say. But all it comes down to is once you're able to, is that just hilarious, Ari's ball sack?
Oh, yeah.
I can't see you. Fix the camera.
Hey.
Hey.
welcome to the show. With a new beach look. Is this the beach look? Is this?
I guess so.
This is like welcome AIDS activist Ari Shaffir, everybody. Oh, I just
Ari, you got a beach belt on?
That's so weird.
I do have a beach belt
no,
on. Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, it's right here. You can see it right here.
Ah, there it is. Ari's
and
belt.
Ari's belt. Ari,
I saw you slowly peeling your pants down. You fucking
I was
idiot!
Like, I should already be prepared.
Yeah,
Ari, yeah. Welcome to the show. Dates out of the gate. You got any dates?
Yeah.
All right.
Seattle. Seattle, June 21st, and then the Crocodile Island Comedy Store, June 23rd.
Nice. Good dates. We're discussing LA comics, New York comics, LA comics, because I.
Okay, what's a take on Oakerson's part?
Well, I was just giving it.
Yeah.
I was just
before
saying,
you rudely interrupted.
I said when I first came out here, you know, years ago, I had that same like, you know, LA sucks thing about it. I think all it is when you come out here enough, eventually, you make friends. When you get to work the clubs a little bit, like it's all of a sudden that's great. Like I like being out here now a lot because. The weather's fantastic, especially at times when it sucks in New York.
Yeah.
And you're excited to see everybody. That's all it is. When you come out of the, and you can't get on anywhere, and you're just kind of sitting around, like, it's it. You're sitting around twirling your thumbs, and then you just go back, and you're like, there's only three clubs, really, and no one gets any work. But once you're working, it's fantastic.
It's the same.
I actually said this to Ari as soon as I got back a couple weeks ago when I was out here. I was like, you know what? I love The Cellar. The Cellar is probably the best showcase club in the world. And the Stand is fantastic. All the clubs in New York have like a nice vibe to them, and they're great rooms. But I think that hang at the Comedy Store, like I just work, every time I come out here, I just work there every night, and so I just hang there till 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's a blast.
It's the most fun hang. Yeah. All the comics really do come to one place. The Cellar, at a time, even when it was like really fun for me, was a bit exclusive, and now it's just kind of disbanded. It's not really a thing anymore. So like, no
why?
One,
what happened?
Just no one really hangs there like that anymore because
a new
not
generation
really...
kind of coming through. Or
and the new
coming up to a little bit, but everyone else, the pot smokers want to go outside.
Yeah, the new generation kind of like it even gets in there are kind of bouncing around still. You know what I mean? Like the Cellar is not their last stop, so it's like they go there where it used to just be. These guys would be, you know, Patrice and Colin and Nick DiPaolo and Rich Voss and Bill Burrell. These guys would be at that table and shit talking for 6 hours. But everyone's just kind of moving and shaking at this point. You know?
I feel sometimes that there's some New York City comics who don't necessarily come out to L.A. like you guys do. And they compare, like, New York's best to L.A.'s worst. They're like, Jim Norton would destroy Boom Shakalaka. And you're like, most people would destroy Boom Shakalaka.
Not in the sack.
You did say that. I did say I said recently, there is a lot of soft... like soft comedy, I say. I feel like I'm going after like acts at the store. But the thing is, I do ask to go on late at the store, and Adam hooks me up.
Yeah, he asks
I say
to go on super late at the store, and he goes, "This lady sucked." I'm like, "Yeah, she's got a 12:45 spot. That's not."
Yeah, he goes, "That's when they put on the shitty people." I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's fair."
That's the store is good about that because at least we save some time for newer people, but not good time.
I do the just at the end of the fun time. I get the last bit. Of a real crowd.
And I'm 11:15 tonight. I figure it's a good time.
11:15. 11:30 is kind of the end. It also depends when.
Weekends can go longer.
Yeah. But it's like you don't want to go much later than that. But it's also, and I'll disagree on Ari this, that, you know, people like Eleanor, she goes late because she can get blood from a stone from a late night spot. So these are two people that go late night spots at the Comedy Store. It's either people that they want to give a spot to that are strong enough to go late so they can get a spot, or the brand new people that they got to throw in because they want to start, you know, working them. But
that's why I say I always ask them to go late because I just kind of think it's more fun. I'd rather be there hanging out, and then at some point they're like, "Hey, man, you got to go on." Like, sure, and let's see what's up there. Like, maybe there's 15
it's
people.
It's the only place you can work on new material at the Comedy Store because early on it's just like everybody's going for blood. They're not the day.
Yeah, there's
the
not spots. You get a spot at the Improv. You're there to fucking bang. You're not going to go up
the Improv?
Yeah, I'm saying you're not going to go up there to fuck around at a fucking 10-15 spot at the Improv.
No, the Improv, the store. Tom Francisco a long time ago told me this. The Improv, you go for blood. It's like it's the office. You're going to work.
It's different now. It's different now.
What do you mean?
There's no agents and managers or networks hanging out there where you got to like show somebody.
What do you mean they don't hang out there?
It's not the same place as it was when we started.
Well, what do you think ruined that? I think that moving that bar.
Moving the bar, just it became uncool.
Once they get that outdoor bar going now, it's going to be pretty hot there.
They start so many bringer shows, and then it's just like...
I'll tell you what happened to the improv. Levity really put their squeeze on it, and then it started getting to the point where they could only put Levity clients up for the most part.
You got to make a club conducive to the comics hanging out.
Yep.
You want them to talk about it when they go out of town. You want it to become a place... That's what the Cellar did in its heyday.
We're their biggest advertiser.
I mean, it's its heyday now. Like, you know, as far as like being sold out every night and like multiple shows, but Louis making that show so on the that club so on the map. But its heyday of like hanging out is what the guy wanted to do. It's he goes, we have a restaurant upstairs that's like the back section is just for you guys, and the food is like, you know, pretty much comped. You know, it's like eat here, be here, drink here, and then everybody wants to hang out there. It becomes like a mythical hang almost, you know what I mean? Like that people want to go talk about. That's what I feel like the Comedy Store is set up to now.
It's well, it's like we're there.
It's like you feel very welcome to hang out there. No one's like chasing people out or complaining.
We're literally their biggest commercial. Like if you think about the transformation from the store, now Adam and Eric have a huge part in that, but for the last four years, every comic in Los Angeles has been doing podcasts and talking about how fun the Comedy Store is.
Yeah.
People from Australia, people from around the world come to the Comedy Store because they hear comics talking about it on podcasts.
Yep.
When I first came out, I only used to do the Laugh Factory, and I just felt like it was – I liked it, but I mean, it was like always it ran like crazy off time. Like, it was always like
I
was always going on like
an hour.
I was always going on like an hour after. Like an hour after I was supposed to, which is I didn't mind that. But then, like, the mood would just be bad because the show's an hour behind. Some comics would come in and would get pissed off about that, and they'd leave angry, and then the manager's frazzled that, you know, Mario Joyner's pissed off. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, really shit like that. And you're like, it was just like, and then, you know, the door guy seems disgruntled about something, and it was just like the energy in there was just bad.
Did we just lose
And it's not really the hang, too. They line everybody up outside. You come in, you got to get the fuck out when the show's over.
Yeah, you have
to. It's like they shake money out of you and kick you out.
Yeah.
Well, that is where Jamie, and it's karma right now. He doesn't allow any comics to hang out there. And it's like
stupid.
You said, hey, we have feedback, Ari.
It's all staticky. I can't really hear.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, but it's real staticky. The connection's not very good.
Feedback from you.
It's call back. Try again.
Yeah, it's fun to hang up on that fucking guy. I'm not going to lie to you. Try to get his ass back. You are Philly.
Yeah.
Does that make you... Are you Philly? Are you Phillies? Are you Eagles? Are you Sixers? Are you just Philly across the board?
I'm Eagles.
He's a cheesesteak fan, first of all.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
Eagles, Sixers, Die Hard. I'd never gotten hockey. I just didn't get the sport.
Sure.
A lot of people played it in Philly too, like just like street
hockey.
That's
a big deal there.
I just never, for some reason, it was a sport I never just picked up on. And my stepfather got me way into baseball in like '91, and then just watching those two seasons lead up to that '93 World Series, which was such a fun team, fun personality team, the whole thing, and then they lost to the Blue Jays.
Toronto.
That's the Joe Carter home run.
It sure was. That was a great series.
And then I watched the next season or two I watched, and they were the worst team in baseball. And then they didn't make the playoffs for 13 years. And when your team in baseball stinks, like really bad, not even close to playoffs, it's a easy sport to just check out.
Yeah.
Of. You're like, I just thought it's so slow and long.
It's so bad.
It just drags it out how boring the game is. And you're like, I can't pretend to care about a team. And I heard the Phillies are actually pretty good this year, but I don't know the personalities of the teams. That makes sense. Even as bad as the Sixers are, you just kind of like by game 20, you're like, I like this. This kid's never going to make a highlight reel, but like I like him. Like, you know,
baseball's interesting.
It's a fast-moving sport.
It's a very regional sport, meaning like for some reason baseball more than any other sport is like you have to know the story of the guy batting. Like why are you rooting for this guy? Is he struggling? Yeah. Is he on a hot streak? Where is he from? Did he just get... There's like such drama on each player that when you don't know that drama, it completely alienates almost you to watch, wanting to watch a game. Like, he loves football. I love basketball. He loves He loves baseball.
He loves money.
I can watch the Washington Wizards versus the Orlando Magic and enjoy the game because I love the sport. I cannot watch the Baltimore Orioles versus the Seattle Mariners.
There's no way. Yeah, you got to be rooting for
your
team and give a shit.
I don't know who everybody is. Why am I?
It doesn't matter. Regular season doesn't really matter in baseball. You can lose seven in a row. It won't really matter.
You can lose all of June.
Yeah, it really, it just, goddamn, it's a slow-moving sport.
It's so long. But they do deserve every dollar they get. I mean, like, they play huge stadiums, and for 180 days, they're all together.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of games, but it's also just like, it's hard to latch on to any one game because, you know, individually each game almost means nothing. And also, it's like the process of getting, what's impressive about baseball to me is the process of which you get into the MLB. It's like, I probably know 15 people in my life who were drafted out of high school.
I know quite a few.
They just always go, it's like, oh yeah, I went to Royals training. Harris Stanton's a comedian out of New York who was, he was in that Tracy Morgan accident, actually. And, but he was drafted out of high school for the Kansas City Royals. Never played a day of baseball.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For the Royals, I know guys, I think Kansas City Royals also a guy named Lamar, who I went to high school with.
How is Lamar?
Picked up, nothing.
What color's Lamar?
Huh?
What color's Lamar?
Oh, this is going to blow your mind. Black.
Lamar? What? You know a black Lamar?
How many Lamars have ever been named white Lamars?
I know 30. I know that's the first black Lamar I've ever heard of.
You know what's hilarious?
I know like 30 white Lamars.
If you go back.
Really?
Now he's joking.
If you go back. If you go back in time, though, those names did develop from what my grandmother's boyfriend, still to this day, she's been with for 20 years. His name is Jerome. They call him Jerry,
really?
but his name is Jerome. Yeah.
I bet he's got a big dick, dog.
I bet he's got a donkey dick just split my grandma in two.
Yeah, crushing her down.
Oh, mom, just getting ripped open.
She's all wrinkled, but her tits smooth as glass.
Her body opens at the pussy like South Park Canadian mouths. It opens completely. But baseball, yeah, it's like, then after that, you have to go to like single A. Double A. It's like this fucking process.
You just move
like,
up slowly.
It seems like, I know there are like 19-year-old rookies in the MLB, but generally, like, you see, like, it's like, oh, a 28-year-old rookie because he had to play a fucking decade in like,
sure.
At least in NBA, it's like, you go to the NBA or you just tuck your tail and go play in, you know, Greece or Turkey
China.
Or something. Yeah, like whatever.
Globetrotters.
Let me ask you an Eagles question. When you say die hard, you're a die hard Eagles fan.
So you don't
miss a game, you know. How bad, in your opinion, as a real Eagles fan, how far back did Chip Kelly set your franchise?
Not very.
You really don't think so?
I think getting rid of those players was a big, big deal, but they still have a good core of players.
You don't think signing nine running backs is an issue?
With Chip Kelly? No, it's ridiculous, but they already got rid of the biggest problem, one of them. DeMarco Murray was the problem, in that system at all, and his attitude and his personality and the fact that he's from a team that everyone hates. Ari.
No shit.
Who front runner Ari?
Yeah.
But they
I like the Yankees.
But they got rid of DeMarco Murray. He was the problem in that situation. I like Doug Peterson coming in. He knows the Eagles, like he's a former Eagle. And my problem right now, the setback I feel like, I think when anyone comes and I know you can't let the players run the fucking office. But when a guy comes out that loud about, like, I want to be traded, I hate this, like, get the fuck rid of him.
Yeah.
And let's throw this rookie kid in, and maybe it tanks a season or two, but we get to see what he can do, and it'll be fun and exciting still. The beauty of football is, like, all I hope for every year, by the way, I'll applaud my team if that last game means something.
Yeah.
Just take me to the playoffs. Just take me to the playoffs.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being 2-8.
Yeah.
And being, like,
man,
that's the word.
Fuck.
And
I've had a Raiders fan.
Yes,
dude.
You've had that happen
We've
too.
Had
where it's
that
like
forever.
I'm a Falcons fan.
Like week 10, like when you have to have like 6 weeks of useless means nothing football, and you're like, wow.
And then you win the last three, meaningless, and it just fucks you out of a draft pick.
Oh, dude, that's classic Raiders.
Oh, we're drafting five, and then you win your last three for no reason. Yeah. Now you're drafting 16. Yeah. You're like, what? Why? That's
fucking Raiders.
If there's ever a sport I'm in favor of tanking. It's the motherfucking NFL.
But I don't think the Eagles are set back too far. The Sixers, I can't guess what the plan is.
Dude,
I really don't know. It bums me out because I love I love watching them, and I get that package, and it's great. One thing about basketball, it's great, too, as a comic. I DVR the game, you know, like no one talks about the fucking Sixers in New York at all. DVR the game, and then I come home at night, and it's such a great, like, fast-forward through commercials. Yeah. You get through a game literally in an hour.
Uh-huh.
Dude, if they don't start making moves now, they're going to start losing the players they drafted.
No, dude.
They're already doing that.
If you guys move Okafor, right, you move him to Boston for the three pick, right?
Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, he's their center that they drafted.
Another thing you'll notice about the show.
Ari. So they move him, you get the three pick, you get Murray out of Kentucky or Dunn out of Providence. Both, I think, are going to be monsters.
Well, they're getting Simmons, right? That Ben Simmons kid.
They're going to get Simmons with number one. So
I don't know anything about college ball, but they said he's like a game changer.
He is.
They said he might not even go number one anymore.
Yeah, he will. He'll go number one. But you guys will get a point guard and a scoring forward. And now if Embiid can get anything going, that's a big if.
They said he's a
monster.
They say he's a beast, yeah. And Nerlens Noel's not. I like him, too.
They'll probably move him, too, because he can't play power forward. So you move him. You got this kid, Darik, out of Euros, who's going
to
be a
power forward. He's coming this year.
Yeah, he's going to be your power forward. You guys got a good young team, man.
Stay together and do like that.
Hinkie just got booted the year before it all was starting to come together.
Yeah,
that's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's up in San Antonio.
But the Warriors had that.
That guy came in for Duncan's first year, and the other guy built a team, and it was like, my team. Mm.
Yep. What's his name? Gray? I thought his name was Gray.
Hill.
The coach was Hill. Bob Hill was the coach of the Spurs, and he got booted, and then they brought in
Pops. For the rest of your life, you only get one championship for the Eagles or NBA champion Sixers. You only get one for the rest of your life. Who would you want it to what would you like to see happen?
Super Bowl.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd like to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl. That'd be great. Because I really like, again, because there's so few games in a season, you're so invested. I really do look forward, you know. You find out the day of, like, oh, the Sixers play tonight. You know, I'll record that game. And it's almost like baseball in that, you know, games.
I know what you mean.
A lot of games. So you can kind of, like, you know, if you do miss a game here and there, not at the end of the world. But, like, the Eagles, it's an event. You know, it's like, it's a big deal. Like, if I'm on the road and I got a DVR an Eagles game and just, like, you know, shutting off all social media. It means something to watch it, you know. It's a different feeling, I think, than basketball. Basketball, you get super amped up once it becomes like playoff time.
Well,
like,
especially
here we go.
Then,
Well, I'm a guy. I go to the summer leagues every year. Like, love basketball. It's like it's my sport. I would go Clippers because the Raiders have already won a Super Bowl. I would love to see the Clippers get a fucking chip.
Raiders won a Super Bowl over the Eagles.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Do you remember when it was almost when the Raiders last went to Super Bowl, which was against Tampa? It was almost.
Oh, yeah.
Raiders versus Philly.
Yep.
And I'm like, the violence that would happen in that stadium, in the stands, would have been nuts.
Yeah. I don't know, man, because I don't know if all those thug motherfuckers could afford a $2,000 Super Bowl ticket. But actually,
no,
if anybody would, it would be them. Yeah, yeah, if anybody would.
There'd be just robbery, and it would be like Escape from New York.
People
selling
babies for tickets outside.
Yeah, that's I've never been to the Raiders one, but I know it's a similar. Do they have the courthouse jail cell in the stadium?
Yeah, they have a jail
there?
In there. It's a shitty stadium. It's the only stadium with still
no,
it's
no,
a
no,
baseball
we don't have
diamond.
A jail like you.
Yes,
got.
They do.
Oakland does?
Yes, they do.
Has a jail in the stadium.
Yeah, Mervis
they
was
should
there.
Have a deportation center if anything.
No shit. Yeah, Ryan Mervis had to go to Raider jail. He has a story about going to Raider jail.
Raider jail. How is Mervis? He's still alive?
Yeah, he's good. He just got a job bartending at Hard Rock, I think.
That's the guy that got booted from the story.
Yeah,
right?
That's the guy who got so drunk he let some gay comic suck his dick in the parking lot.
Raise your hand if you're the only person that watched it.
This all happened?
Yeah.
He didn't strike me as that type.
Oh, he strikes me as that type.
You get enough booze in anybody, you'd be surprised what kind of types we all is.
So, did you guys hear Vegas got an NHL team?
No, really?
Yeah,
really?
They're going to move. They're going to get an expansion team. They're going to move it to Vegas. And hopefully with the Raiders, we'll go to Vegas.
Are they doing
too.
Two expansion teams?
Well, yeah, I think they're doing two. I think
are the Raiders possibly going to Vegas?
Right now, they might go to 32.
Yeah, because 31 doesn't make sense.
Raiders might go Vegas.
Off.
Really?
Because they can't get a stadium in Oakland.
Jesus.
They can't get Oakland to pay for a stadium.
I hope they go to Vegas so I can avoid two things at once.
What would it be? What would it be?
Garbage Vegas and Garbage Raiders.
Garbage Vegas and Garbage. That's a great name for a band, by the way.
But you know what? I was talking to my buddy who's a Raiders fan the other day, and he's like, well, if you think about it this way, how badass would it be to go to Vegas for the weekend, go to a UFC fight on Saturday, get up in the morning, go to a Raiders game?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty badass. That would be badass.
I was in Vegas, okay, over the week doing stand-up, and I get invited to a house party, which is just weird to show up to a house party.
What year is it, 1988 you were in Vegas over the weekend?
Yeah. So I go to this house party, and it's like, what are the rules? It's like Quantum Leap. You just show up. You got to figure out the rules.
You have to pay $5 for a red cup.
No, it was the one thing was cool. You walk in, and this guy took this giant tool shed and turned it into a back bar. Like, it was a mini bar in his backyard.
Of course, he's throwing a fucking house party.
No, but it was legit, dude. I mean, like, the bar, the whole selection of liquor in the back, two slot machines. It's legit, dude. So anyways, I show up, and my friends are talking to me about the whole neighborhood. This is a nice neighborhood. Three-bedroom house in this neighborhood?
Let me guess.
A month. How much it costs?
Oh, a month. Okay, I thought you were going
to
say that. Three-bedroom house to rent a month there.
$1,000.
I'm going to say 15.
So I'll say $1,200.
$1,000.
God damn!
Yes, on a dot. I mean, they got both prizes.
Shut up, Jew.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't win anything.
You do. You get both
no
prizes.
No shit.
A G, dog. A G.
Nice neighborhood.
It was a nice neighborhood, dude. Half the people were swingers there because they all sunbathe, and it's just like everybody's fucking each other's wife. That's what I've learned in, like, suburbia is, like, everybody doesn't want to get divorced. They're bored.
So they
Everybody just fucks each other's wives. That's all it is. Just drop dick.
What's wrong with that?
If everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. No, I didn't say you were. I'm just saying in general.
That's the reality of America.
But you have to live in Vegas. That's the thing for those.
That's
for
the
those
only
prizes.
Bad thing.
I went to college here. I don't mind it.
Yeah?
I don't even mind being there. I'm telling you, he hates Vegas, but there's something about...
I've never been actually in, like, you know, Vegas, like... The actual, like, you know,
outside
suburbs
of
whatever. I've only been on, like, that strip. And so.
Well, for me, dude, the thing I like about Vegas, and I'm trying to get my own show out there, is that I don't have to travel anywhere. I can just go do this one gig. And, like, every time I play these rooms, they're packed. And I'm like, this is really easy. I could just get a $1,000 a month house, live there, and then every night get a new crowd. And go up there and just fucking shred people.
You get that house. Let me sleep in that shed I've been hearing so much about.
Yeah.
I did a group of people's, like, house hang after a show in Indianapolis not too long ago. That was weird.
That
it is weird. But they're like, yeah, we got a beer keg at the house. They had, like, a whole, like, the cooler.
Yeah.
Beer keg. Like, five people went back there. But you really do feel like a fucking weirdo going in, though. You're like, this is, like... Should I not be here?
It's really weird. And
then they show you off to neighbors who don't know who you are, which is always hilarious. Yeah. And like, this is the guy. The thing, like, oh, great.
Hey, this guy's a comedian. Oh.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
Do they do this to you? Do they go, hey, man, we're calling the slut? Have you ever done that to
you?
No. All the time when I would go on the road, they'd be like, dude, we're calling in the slut.
Would the girl just fuck you?
And that's really what they do. They call this girl, and they're like, you have to fuck him. And the girl's like, okay, and then they just fucked me.
Dude, I just had this, and this might be age showing here. I'm not sure, but I was in Miami
age
this last
or AIDS?
Weekend. Age.
Okay.
Either's fine on this show.
And either one is fine for the story. my age is showing for sure. This guy I know, seedy dude to some degree. I love him, but he's a guy just I met, like, from a strip club years ago opening for Bobby Slayton in West Palm. Like, he took me out. He got my dick sucked at this strip club the day I met him. And he's always just stayed in touch.
I've actually hooked him up.
Like, he's a big Jets fan who lives in Miami. So I became friends with Dustin Keller, who was tight end on the Jets for a while.
I remember him.
And we brought him up. Like,
cool guy?
Very cool guy. But my friend Lauren, like, came up. I took him to Jets games before. We just kind of stayed, like, buddies-ish. But I know he's kind of like a... He's the guy you ask, you know, if you could find him, if he could find you coke or something, if that's what you're looking for in the world.
Yeah.
And he shows up. Now he's starting an escort company.
Oh, sweet.
So he shows up to my show in Miami with his partner, who's this big, burly, kind of like Samoan-looking dude. And these two pretty hot chicks, man. And he goes, yeah, I got you all set up, by the way. He goes, these girls are cool. He goes, just like the strip club, you know, a decade ago. He goes, they're going to both suck your dick. And... we all went into my hotel room, and the girls were kind of making like a, it was before the show, and they were like, so, you know, are we going to do this or what? And I just, I made an, I was just like, I don't want to get caught up in like miss them calling me to the stage, which there was plenty of time.
They're like, then, it's noon.
And I realized what it was in my mind. I was like, afterward, I even said this in front of Christine, my girlfriend, Ari, because I was said, I was like, look, in the realm of cheating, that's when I can really rationalize in that regard. It's just like two girls who are like, you know, professional dick suckers, really. But I didn't want it to happen. You better put your fucking dork away. There it is.
Jesus. Yeah, I like that look, bro.
I don't like that
look. I like that. That's going to be the new phase.
My dick doesn't sit like that, dude. My dick's always in fight stance.
That dick looks like it's ready to take a punch.
But
it looks like one of those little tiny dinosaurs that spit at you from Jurassic Park.
In a weird way, I think that it is.
I can't believe a girl let you lay on her. It's unbelievable. It really is. So go,
but,
on.
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
These girls, I had a weird thing in me that was like, they're just doing it because they were told to, like nothing in them like knows who I am or is so I said to the guy, I'm like, maybe after the show, let them watch the show. Maybe after the show, they're going to be like, oh, this is cool. Like,
they understand
I'd love
powers.
To blow this guy. Maybe. Yeah. They see what you have to offer in any way. And then I did the show. They watched. They were into it. And after the show,
they were a little harder.
They were like, the girls, like, they're ready to do it. And I just like, I was like, ah, man, I don't know. I actually said, this is the funny thing to tell a guy who is controlling hookers. I went, ah, man, give him the night off tonight.
What a Christmas
gift.
Did
I send him on their way? I don't know why it bothered me. It just bothered me.
I'll tell you.
For some reason, the fact that it was like so, like, they were told to do it versus being like, want to do this.
Hey, me and my friend are drunk. We'd love to suck your dick. That's a different thing than like the Samoan tells me I need your cock in my mouth.
Well, it's
really?
Also,
no
dude,
shit. Yeah, girl. Like, I don't know who you are, but I'll suck your dick. You'd be like, all right.
You hunting. There's something about hunting, picking them up that is almost as important to the fooling around. Like when a girl's like, I remember being at the improv and this chick just came out. She's a little thick. But she just looked at me. She's like, man, I'll fuck you in the car right now. And I'm like,
Yeah, too easy. Like, that's weird.
Too easy. It's too much. It's like, make me think I corrupted you.
Yeah, you almost want to know why. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Well, the beauty is,
you have mental illness.
My girl comes and wrote me a lot. And, like, she's better at hunting the pussy than I am at all. Like, she pulls the girls way better.
But that's the whole racket you guys got.
Yeah, but even when I was, like, out just looking for pussy myself, like without her on the road, like years back. Like I very quickly got over the chase. I don't mind the hunt, like try to talk him up after the show thing, but the chase, mm-hmm. like we're going to this bar and my cousin owns a bar a couple miles from here, and let's go. I can't do any of that fucking running around shit.
Triple and I always say it's like now that like, you know, into our early 40s and shit, I don't have it, even like when we were in San Francisco not too long ago doing the punchline, I don't have it in me to sit and talk to a bunch of 23-year-old chicks just to maybe finger an idiot when I can just go home to the hotel room and watch SportsCenter and jerk off and not have to fucking deal with all the fucking, when I was like, even in my early 30s, like that was fun. Like, that was, but now I'm just like, ugh. I'm just going to wind up hating you.
I'd say 8 out of 10 times after you jerk off when a girl didn't come back, you are thinking, like, this is better now than having to figure out what to do with this chick.
The minute you come, you're like, oh, man, I've made a giant error. I've done something, you know what I mean? Like,
or a lot of times, especially when they're gross, when they're not cool at all, you're just like, now what? Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to be mean. And if you're mean to them and asking them to go, it's like, then you're an asshole. Like, that's going to come out.
And then it'll feel good inside.
I mean, that fucking Mike Faberman, like, you know, it's like they're ready to fucking, like, lay that shit out there public and make it.
Dude, Tripley and I were in Kalamazoo, Michigan doing a gig. Remember Brant?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing his gig in Kalamazoo.
Laughing Post?
Yep, absolutely.
They owe me some money.
They probably do. I've been hearing that from people.
Yeah.
So we're out there doing that gig, and they do that same thing with Tripoli, where they're like, you know, send in the whores. These girls are fuck both of you, no problem. So we do the gig, and they're there, and then we go out to like a house. They take us to like a house party afterwards. So it's Tripoli and I and these two girls in this car. And Tripp is in the front seat with one girl, and I'm in the back seat with the other girl. And she goes, oh, you guys gig at the Comedy Store? I go, yeah. She goes, maybe you know my boyfriend. And I'm like, who's your boyfriend? She goes, Mike Faberman.
Oh, shit.
Man, I just laughed my ass off. So Faberman was there the week before us. He's like, yeah, you're my girlfriend, no problem.
You're my girlfriend.
Sure. So I'm in the back seat with this total wackadoo who wouldn't even fuck me anyway because she now thinks she's engaged to Mike Faberman. I remember that pig. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that was your girlfriend. All right, where were you? Why are you late?
I was in Bonnaroo. I landed. Man, you try to take Uber from the airport, and they're like, it'll be faster and easier. It's not. They fucking get up there. They're like, where are you? I'm like, you told me to go to departure, so I'm upstairs. Like, oh, I'm a Terminal C. You're
take
Terminal
the cab.
B. I'm like, I said United. I don't know where it is.
Take the cab,
like,
always.
Just cancel it. Find another one. And then you find another one. And you're like, it's been 25 minutes. I should have just gotten a cab.
A cab. Buddy, take a cab every time on that one. It's flat rate.
From airports, too, especially.
Flat rate from the airport.
55, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually 20.
But you get to get immediately in a car and not worry about it.
And yeah, you don't have to worry.
I almost did that because out here in L.A. when I landed, they go, Uber won't go to the airport. So someone said, like, oh, if you...
Now they do.
What, like last week?
No, it changed like 2 months ago.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really? When I went on the Uber app, said it wouldn't do it. Maybe I have to...
In L.A., they can drop off. They can't pick up.
No, they did pick up.
No, they can do it.
Oh, really? So here, so the guy...
You don't have to shuttle somewhere?
Dude, if I'm here and I'm not doing anything...
Oh, the guy told me to go... Just jump in the first shuttle to a hotel and get out there and just Uber from there. And I just, even that, you're just like,
yeah,
fuck,
I'm just going to get a fucking cab.
Dude, hey, dude, if I'm not busy, hit me up. I'll come pick you up. I appreciate that.
How was Bonnaroo?
So much fun.
Dude, really? I saw Josh M. Myers was hanging out with Eddie Vedder.
I did. We're practically best friends. Well, I think he's adopting me. He's adopted me, man.
Friends with them, and he brought him back to the comedy tent so people took pictures with him. They were so underwhelming, Pearl Jam.
Were they?
Really? They were great live back in the day.
I know. I was surprised. I really thought. I mean, I told Jay this, too. I was like, I bet they'll be. I'm not
Which
the biggest
Jay?
Fan,
we got
but
two
I bet
here.
They'll be monstrous.
Yeah,
and they really were not.
Too.
They were just there. He read a couple speeches in the middle for no reason, and it's like, dude, these people aren't your fans, man. Some are, but some are just like, I'll check you out. You're taking time to read something about some congresswoman in fucking Georgia. It's like, stop.
You know what? I'm not a big fan of this band's music so much, but I like them, and the energy's awesome at Bonnaroo, I'm sure. How cool was Lamb of God? Was that awesome?
Lamb of God's pretty cool. So they got interrupted by lightning. They had to evacuate the whole Bonnaroo.
Oh, really?
And Lamb of God fans were pissed.
Yeah.
But then they're like, all right, we're not canceling anybody. We're just pushing everybody back by about an hour. So they started up again, and they were so good. He goes, I'm seeing a lot of this. I'm seeing a lot of this. I'm not seeing any of this, motherfuckers. Just so angry, that guy.
Watch the documentary on that guy, Lamb of God. He's the one that was over in Czech Republic, spent 3 months in prison because a guy a few years back jumped on stage, and like he pushed the guy off the stage to get him off the stage because security didn't do it, and the guy apparently hit his head on one of the like security gates and died like several weeks later. And when they went back 2 years later to play a gig in Czech Republic, he got arrested and he was in fucking jail for like 3-4 months in Czech Republic prison.
He went back there to play again.
He went back to play a gig and they fucking arrested him and he spent three. And I remember I was supposed to do.
That's how Batman Begins started.
Speaking of cruise, I do those heavy metal cruise ships once a year. And one of them was supposed to got canceled because it was ticket sales stopped because Lamb of God was the headliner and they exited.
How are those gigs?
The cruise ships spoke. They're 3 days great, and then by the fourth day you're ready to get the fuck off that boat.
That's why I'm glad my Somalia cruise ship's only 2 days.
Percentage
two
men to women.
That's got to be a lot of dudes at the
on
at
the heavy metal ones. Yeah, you got a picture. It's funny too because it's the best and brightest of that world because it's expensive to go.
Right.
And but I'd say it's probably, it's mostly dudes. But there's some chick you could hook up for. You know, I'll tell you what, the only, of all those cruise ships I've done, I passed out and ruined a threesome on.
So far, you're 0 for 2 with two chicks and one dude.
On motor, well, that was my girlfriend. She pulled a really hot chick, but I just was.
I never
drank Fireball before.
Ooh.
And I drank a ton of it, and I passed out, literally, I think, while, like, fingering the other chick. And then, but the only cruise ship we ever hooked up on with another girl was the Impractical Jokers cruise of all cruise ships.
Oh, really? Are they packed?
It was a lot of people, but it wasn't the heavy metal one has a lot more people.
That sounds like a terrible cruise. Like all the toilets have like Saran wrap on it. Like it's just all practical jokes all over the whole boat. You know,
those guys
banana peels everywhere.
But yeah, they drew a fun. That was a fun because it was a real comedy cruise, and like
right.
The audiences were definitely down to like enjoy comedy shows. Whereas the heavy metal boats, you do a comedy show and like you prepare for like it really is like. I don't know how many comics can do it, and that's not saying that I'm any kind of a stellar comic. Just what I particularly do,
right, Real gotcha. House
works good there because you have to abandon, like, you know, you're starting to tell a joke like, so I was in Chicago last week. Fuck Chicago. And then you got to be like, I guess I'm talking to this guy now for a while. Why fuck Chicago? You know what I mean? Because like you're going to just start barking.
You got to just be in the moment.
Because that guy's going to say fuck Chicago, and someone's going to go, hey, what do you mean, fuck Chicago? And then you got to narrate their fucking argument.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just kind of like get through it.
Do you think white women have completely abandoned heavy metal? It's like, you go to concerts, at least out here,
it's
just all like white guys and Mexican chicks. That's
for heavy metal?
All that's in metal now.
Well, they have to, like I said, I'm going to go see soon. They're doing Manson's on tour with Slipknot and Korn's on tour with Rob Zombie, and both of them. I mean, Ari just did a whole podcast about this. But they have to fucking, they got to like double headline all these bands. And I interview a bunch of them for my podcast, The SDR Show. We talk to a lot of like rock guys. It's dead here.
In it's L.A.
It was dead in America. It really is. Like,
you go to Scandinavia, it's insane.
But overseas, like Power Man 500 or 5,000 still like can sell out like a big fucking venue. Like, they really can, and it's just like, it's just over here, it's not like...
What do you think it is? It's just corporate rock has just ruined everybody, or EDM, everybody's just doing Molly now?
EDM, a whole new genre of music was created to get people to do drugs, young, and fuck, and that's it. It's all it is. EDM, that's literally what took over... Heavy metal, as weird as that sounds, that was the turn. It wasn't heavy metal didn't lose out to like. There's always been like there's always been, like a Nickelback. There's always been the Third Eye Blind. There's always been that kind of rock.
Yeah, pop rock,
contemporary pop rock.
They say hip hop's dying too because of EDM. Like everyone's just doing EDM.
It's all becoming dance music.
To me, it's all what the Grateful Dead was, where it's like go, we'll play some jams. You got to do some psychedelics, hang out. It'll be perfect for it. And have a good time,
but it is that talk about like soul, talk about stores. Soulless music, man.
Yeah.
When I was on tour with Korn, we went
same
to
with
go
Pearl,
watch
same with,
Pearl Jam.
No, same with Grateful Dead. It's also soulless.
Yeah,
just,
we went to go watch the band Korn. The lead singer from Korn wanted to go watch Steve Aoki.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a DJ guy.
The guy whose uncle owns Benihana.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But Steve Aoki, we watched from like behind him. It's. He plays an iTunes playlist and runs out with a microphone and just screams and jumps around. He does nothing.
He cashes checks.
He sure as shit does.
Like a motherfucker.
But he's not. But I mean, he's not back there like, you know, getting his next record ready while he's doing like the there was actually like a talent to that in some way. It's nothing. It's just like he just makes a computer program and runs it.
You know the band Trail of Dead? Anyone that's about the Trail of Dead? I'm friends with a couple of those guys. And I love when I see them when they come out here. It's one of my favorite bands. And, you know, you go see them at somewhere like the Fonda or something. And it's like 2,000-3,000 people.
Yeah.
And I talk to them. And it's like their whole tour date is like all Europe, Sweden, Denmark, fucking. And he's like, dude, we do like Staple Center size shows there.
Yeah.
And we come here and we do like, you know, 2,000, you know,
they're
theaters.
All like the Russell Peters of
yeah, but I mean,
metal.
It's just that style of music.
It still lives over
is
there.
Dead here. And it's huge there.
It's still that's why they do those like, you know, Donington festivals and like Reading Festival and all that stuff where they kind of mix
is
it all
in. Why is that? Are we just so on the corporate nipple in LA, in just in America?
America, yeah.
We're just too plugged in, and we like to be told what to listen to, and we don't like to get out of that?
No, it's all geared towards...
White chicks banging black guys. Let's say it.
You're still trying to get the consumer. You know what I mean? So
it's all geared
it's
towards...
It's geared towards, like...
Babysitter money and lawnmower
it's
money.
It's not even, like... And they're not even a bad band. And I saw them. I went with Ed Brook to go see them because they're clients, I guess. Was at 21 Pilots. And, like, talent, they're good. But, I mean... It's two guys. One plays the drums. The other one plays, like, keyboards once in a while or bass once in a while, but they're playing the entire concerts to a fucking track. It's
awful.
Wait,
but did they design the track ahead of time?
Probably, sure, yeah. 21 Pilots, but
well,
they're
with Beck for a while. Beck made everything in his garage and then put it all together,
sure.
and then it's like live. It's like
my point just being though, that's why was Kendrick Lamar so fucking amazing? Like, again, I'm not even a big fan of much new rap at all. That guy blew my mind at Bonnaroo. I'll see him anytime I can see Kendrick Lamar. Because he does have like a live band playing behind him, and it's good. Like they really, there's no like mix in with that. You know, Slipknot's such a great band. That's nine guys,
you
including
know who's
a DJ.
The
including
opposite
things,
of Kendrick Lamar, amazing... Kanye West. I saw him at the Bowl. I can't.
There's no way that was good.
Enough. How disappointed I was in that guy.
I bet,
dude. There's nothing worse than go watching a rapper who had the world by the balls cry about how hard it is to be a rapper. And now nobody understands. It's like, dude, it really is like black people, man. The Kardashians ruin I don't know what it is, whether it's sports or music. But once they get that pussy wrapped around you, it just fucking ruins you. And they nobody like the anybody any Giants fans here? Nobody's Giants fans.
No.
Dude, Khloe Kardashian's fucking Odell Beckham. Yeah, because the only reason I know is because it's on ESPN. That team is fucked. That team is fucked.
Is she fucking
that
him?
That poison pussy ruined.
There were rumors
everything.
He was gay for a while.
Probably. She might strap it on. I don't know.
Chris Humphreys, right? Killed fucking his career.
Chris Humphreys. Who was the receiver for the Cowboys?
What about? Light-skinned
dude? Yeah.
Hi-Yella?
What was
whatever
that kid?
His name is?
Miles. No.
Miles Austin?
Miles Austin.
Oh, was he fucking one of them?
She fucked
the Eagles for a minute.
Dude, she fucked Reggie Bush, then Miles Austin, then Kanye.
And then now
wow.
Look at the fucking Houston Rockets. They went to shit.
And
James Harden.
Harden.
Yeah, they really are. It's like
there's something about
up.
That Kardashian pussy that wrecks your athletic ability.
You know it tastes like pink lemonade. You know that pussy tastes like pink lemonade. It's got to get buffed and waxed and fucking.
I'll tell you what, I'm impressed by the egos of that. Like, I couldn't make like a public girlfriend out of someone who so publicly has fucked so many other public people. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyone, like Kanye West, how laughable is him just as a human being for all the shit he talks? Like, I know what your chick looks like getting fucked by Brandy's brother.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Like, I know what that's like. It's like, that's a tough one to wrap your brain around if you're going to love some chick. And you know, like, it was released by them.
Dude, you
it
don't even want like your ex-girlfriend to have a picture of her ex-girlfriend.
Really?
My friend Kevin Blatt is the guy who released it. They went back and did second takes on the thing. But he had gotten a fight. I forget who he got in a fight with. Kanye West, that other fucking stripper, that super light-skinned Amber something.
Amber Rose. Amber,
who was fucked.
The bald-headed girl.
Yeah, whoever she was fucking. They got him.
Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, got a fight with Kanye.
Yeah.
And
no,
during Wiz Khalifa's concert, he just ran the porn in the back.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian porn. Yep. Ran it the whole time. Kanye apologized after. It's like, you gotta own that shit, man.
You want to go to war?
Yeah.
You want to go to war?
You better be cool with everybody watching.
And if you're a top person and you're fucking with somebody, dude, don't be fucking with someone that's like, I got nothing to lose, man. You got a lot more to lose than I do. So if you want to burn this motherfucker down.
She ruined him. He is a horrible.
Yeah, let's do it.
His music
you just
is
know
horrible.
Everyone that just ran up. Like, it's just too many people, man.
But black guys are weird because, and here we go, but like I do a joke about, but black guys love running trains. Like Derrick Rose got in trouble because him and his buddies all ran a train on this chick. And they love it.
I'm not against running a train. that's not you know, the judgment. I'm saying, like, if Derrick Rose is like, hey, me and the whole, you know, like, starting five of the Bulls ran a train on this celebrity girl, I'm never going to love that celebrity. Like, I couldn't date her. That's what I'm saying. These guys essentially do that. Like,
I did a lot of porn shows with porn stars, and you always meet the guy who's dating the porn star.
Or husband.
Or married, and their whole thing is they shoot the porn.
Yeah.
And they edit it. And they had the vibe of Red Band. Like, I love Red Band to death. But he totally has the vibe of a guy whose girlfriend loves to get just battle big black dicks. It's like the same kind of like, I don't shower that much. I might smoke meth. I have
battle.
This kind of like gray look to me. And I'm very beta-ish, you know. And I loved Red Band to death. But
yeah.
Like Belladonna's husband and Who else is fucking Missy Martinez's husband? They all have like a red band vibe
does
to
it,
them.
Does it make sense? Like, my mind is deviant enough that I could wrap my brain around. It hasn't happened at
that
all.
That lifestyle.
But, no, I can wrap my brain around, like, my chick. Like, that's the porn I watch, is like that cuckold shit. I can get
you like
watching
that?
Black dudes fuck my chick, like big dick black dudes fuck my, have her be my porn star, but not have that the public thing of it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that being like
you could watch that. You just don't want.
I could watch
it
myself.
Watch
I just like
it.
I just like the scrutiny of like I know you're like well who gives a shit own it and I can even if I did it and it got out in the world that we did that. We'll say, right? It's like, you actually have, like, black eyes, like, coming. It's like, absolutely sure. But it couldn't have been, she also fucked before me. Like, you, Ari, and you guys ran a train. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You guys ran a train on her. And then I found out she fucked, like, four or five of the
Did she
like,
say that happened?
Because I wanted that.
I know.
But I'm saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's just too much, like, people you know. Like, my jealousy comes in, like, the, I don't want my buddies to know what my chick's
I
pussy
can get behind
looks
that.
Like.
You want a great story, dude?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like that.
Sure.
One of the best girlfriends I ever had back in the day was this chick that, you know, you ever just fuck a chick and your pieces just work? It's like, boom. It's
yeah.
Just me and this girl, we hooked up and it was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Well, she fucked a couple of my buddies and I was like, okay.
Did she say I did that?
No. she, I'm like, okay. And this one buddy came up and his name's W.B. Wilbur. He's from Texas. He's like, man. So you're dating Dawn now, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, she loves a thumb in her ass.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, okay, let me check this. And I'm just saying, I put a thumb in her ass, moans like a fucking cat. I'm like, God damn it. I don't know. I'm
that
a weird
sucks.
Dude. My buddy's dating this chick who's a comic, and he's like, I just wish she didn't fuck more comics. I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't fucking care. I don't know why. I just don't fucking care. Like Katie Manzella, there's a part of me like I could date that chick, even though I know everybody at the store ran dick through her.
Name names. Hey,
that's different. That's different because you know everybody got to her. It's not like one other person got to her. Where you're like, oh, it's just like a thing. It's like filming a special.
Yeah.
One other person filmed there. You're like, oh, weird. But if you found out everybody films at the Wilbur, then you're like, yeah, I'd like to film there too.
I can see that where it's
oh,
like,
oh, really? That's an odd approach to take to that. I have the exact same thing. It's like if she. I could definitely be with a girl who dated. I mean, my girl has definitely hooked up with another comic before, but not one that's like in my wheelhouse of friends. Not a guy who really even does comedy anymore.
What if she fucked a bad comedian? Would that piss
she
you
did.
Off?
She did. In fact, she fucked a few. Like she fucked a few.
Did
people
she say
in comedy.
I was a bad comedian?
she hooked up with a few comics when she lived out here, like some people from like.
How long have you guys been together? You've been together a while.
Yeah, like 4 years.
Uh-huh.
But
depends on who you ask.
But it's but you know, like when she worked at the County Magic Club, I think she hooked up with like one or two like guys who like from out of town came to you know like one night stand
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And then then two in New York, one doesn't do it anymore, and he moved, I think, and the other one. And I only knew one of them, but not a friend, not anybody around. It doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? I can get past that. It doesn't really bother me. But if it was like. Two of my buddies, man, at all. Like, I just like, if it was like Soder and Ari, I would just be like, it's just too, like,
too close to home. I won't get, it was them at
I
the
can,
same
I
time.
Could, I could wrap my brain around watching black stranger dudes fuck my chick,
so
but
good
knowing that a buddy of mine had just had an intimate, like,
yeah,
you know
I,
what I mean? It's,
I
it's the intimacy of that moment where it's like, man, you guys were like, really? It's like, you woke up in the morning and just started blowing a guy who I know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I and get like, it. I get it. I'm weird.
Dude, anyone, like when Belladonna, the porn star,
She's
talking about bats up her ass. I'm like, oh, wow, it's crazy. She goes, yeah, one time I had a threesome with Pauly and another girl, and I was like, oh, Belladonna.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Stick to the Louisville Sluggers, bitch.
They all love Pauly. What is that?
When I was on tour with Korn, he told me we played the Palms. There was like a porn star pool party happening there at the same time. And I saw Belladonna and Jenna Hayes. I saw them.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to Jonathan Davis from Korn, I hope not blowing up a spot. I think it doesn't matter. But he said, I was like, yeah, Belladonna was there. He goes, oh, is she up there? He goes, she used to be me and my wife's girlfriend.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jenna Hayes is interesting.
Her body's pretty sick. She looked so Eastern European when she first came out.
Right, with that fucking space.
That gap, too, but her hair was kind of shitty and her body was almost like a little dumpy kind of even.
Who's the Mount Everest of porn?
Hmm.
I think it's Jenna Jameson.
Tara Patrick.
Jameson's got to go on
there.
Tara Patrick.
Jameson's got to go on there.
Jenna Jameson, Tara
Patrick. You talking about for celebrity or like just my favorites ever?
I would say who the got the
ever,
biggest.
The best ever, not our favorites.
Like, oh, the biggest ever is Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
Jenna Jameson, Tara Patrick. I think Belladonna's on there.
Probably.
Then it gets
I'll be honest,
debatable.
Babe, if you talk about mainstream success, though, the number two might actually weirdly be Sasha Gray. Like,
she's up there, yeah.
She actually came out of like and done some pretty mainstream shit.
Yeah, she was doing
Entourage. She was on all kinds of
shit. She always acted angry. You ever notice that? She had that anger because she just assumed there was black dicks around the corner at some point. She was like, look, and then she wanted to go on Howard Stern with a Palestine flag on. It's like, oh, okay.
She definitely, like, in like cinema, in like regular cinema where it's not porn, she definitely has PTSDICK.
Lisa's kind of come out of it. Lisa Ann, she's kind of come out and, like she's banging around, like.
I used to have her in a naughty show, and
I remember that.
Just do, she'd get there for the show on time, professional. And then throughout the day, every time I saw her, she's just coming out of the bathroom. And she just coked out of her skull.
Wow, I do remember that specific
night.
And
it stopped being an interview. It just came me sitting on stage with her. And it's just like, okay, just have fun.
Like, he would have the mic, and he'd be like, so what's it? And she would just take the mic from him and start like, and Tripoli's like, well, I guess this is how this is going to go.
The naughty show at its peak back when it was at the Improv was fucking insanity, dude. It was nuts, dude. When Roddy Piper beat the shit out of Ari, that's still one of my favorite fucking
things. That was great.
I love when Bobby Lee beat the fuck out of Ari. Remember that, everybody?
Oh, that was good times, too.
Several times.
Ari, when was the last time you fought a guy your size?
Oh, that's a legitimate question.
I mean, I don't really do that much. It's like, when's the last time you ate a pizza your size?
No, I'm never. Ever.
Yeah.
That was
a bad analogy. Okay, maybe that wasn't perfect.
Women.
Okay.
I only fight children and women.
Maybe it wasn't perfect. Okay. All right.
Wow, look at that.
Look at this guy.
Porn Mount Rushmore. I don't know.
It's that third one you have a bunch of people fight. It could be Jenna Hayes. She got really big.
I mean,
how did
they make
huge
money? But I mean, she was like a Bubba the Love Sponge like chick for a while,
Asa Kira,
and then she became like a porn star.
Really?
I think she was like a girl who would just kind of come on his show from Florida.
I love Florida. Tampa's great. What do you play Tampa a lot?
The Ybor City, the Improv. Then I did it once actually. That nighttime, man, that thing goes nuts. You know what I like about that place? That all the wrestlers lived in there, so they came out to the shows.
My Hulk Hogan was my grandmother's neighbor.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking great.
He built, was your grandma.
No.
Chris Jericho came to my show out there last time. It's always fun. Like those guys, I still get boyish excitement when I meet wrestlers.
The thing I love about Ybor, it's like drag queen show, ghetto club.
Oh,
it's like this weird mixture of hood, gay, and Instagram models.
Yeah, and everyone's there. Yeah, they're all there together.
Yeah.
Flooding that street. But during the day, I hate it. I think anywhere in Florida outside the show, I think
Florida's a great comedy state.
It is, but I mean, I've never.
It's garbage.
It's gross. I enjoyed being in Miami this weekend, but like anything afterwards, like that Comedy Inn, it's like a really like small, hidden away place. It's inside a Quality Inn, and I really was like, when I got there, I'm like, this gig is going to be bunk.
How many seats?
This. It was like 120.
Wow.
Small. I went in my room, like they
cried.
Just took care of, no, but like if, out of the gates, they were just like, they took care of you. They really made you feel like they were excited you were there. It's only two shows and they pay your quote. And it's fucking.
Two shows a whole week?
Two shows a whole weekend. One Friday, one Saturday, in and out, simple. It's not bad. It was actually a really, really good gig. I said, Mike and his girlfriend, Dee. You know what it is? Why they treat you so great? Besides them being good people, is that they own the Quality Inn. They own it. So that room is just a room that's unused.
Oh, that's cool.
It's 100% profit, so to them, they can pay you
laughing
good.
Laughing Skull. It's part of that restaurant.
Laughing Skull,
so.
Same thing. Yeah, absolutely. It's when someone owns the whole thing, it's all profit. And also, it's like a $35 ticket because they do it exclusive. They only do it every couple weeks.
Oh.
Nice.
So it's like they make it like a big event. It's like a big event to them, and they sell it out, man. It was great. That's
Can
cool.
Can we get into this finals real quick? We got half an hour to talk a little finals.
I think if you want to go crazy with money.
Should he have gotten suspended for that game?
What?
Should he have gotten suspended?
No, but he should have gotten suspended for the Oklahoma City one.
For gunshots.
So I still disagree. Like,
what?
I still disagree. I still think there's angles on that where you can see him not intentionally doing it.
Dude, he literally crane kicked that guy's nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
He literally wound up.
Nobody jumps like that.
I think this one in a lot of ways is worse because he went for the punch, and then before LeBron stepped off him, he went for another one. But LeBron stepped off him, so it kind of went up in the air. But you could tell he wasn't like this to try to do it again.
Well,
any
word on Bogut's MRI?
No, I haven't seen anything. Gotta look it up.
That could be a big thing, him being gone. If he's gone the last two games.
As big in this series as possible. Draymond Green being gone is fucking huge.
2 minutes a game. He didn't contribute that much.
No, that's fucking huge, losing Draymond Green. Kyrie Irving's amazing. I think LeBron James is just so cerebral that he did whatever he could to get under Green's fucking nerves and knew if he got another tee, he was out.
You know that Martin Harris guy?
Yeah.
All right, you know Martin Harris?
Like,
yeah, he runs rooms, whatever.
Yeah.
He tweeted that, I feel bad for LeBron James. He just has no heart. He's been in six finals in a row with two different teams.
Yeah.
Two of the last four championships he won.
He came from a crackhead. How crazy is that?
Came right out of high school.
Crackhead gave birth to that.
Think how big he would have been.
He has no heart.
If that was Rodman doing the same thing to Draymond Green, everybody would be like, that's how Rodman is. He gets in your head.
Yeah. Well, that was a different time where you could get in people's head. And it was really physical. I mean, you watch like Jordan in the early years going to the hoop, just getting mugged, dude, and murdered.
Here's a guy who the game is over, the game is done, and LeBron is now affecting the next game. It's a smart, great move. I mean,
yeah, it's part of the game.
You're proud. Like, you can bitch. Whatever, it worked.
You can bitch. It's part of the game.
Can you look up what the odds are that Cleveland actually pulls this out and wins the last two games? Because that could be an interesting thing to throw fucking $50, give a fuck off money on.
Hell yeah.
They win those two. It could be crazy odds.
Well, if I was Cleveland, I would look at game three and realize I did two things. One, I moved the ball. And two, I hit Curry every time he took a step. That's the biggest thing they haven't done the last two games.
Bump them.
They haven't bumped them. And it's like, we've been saying this on 2 years ever since the Warriors been going on this run. It's like, you got to hit Curry, man. He's 185. He's as small as the refs on the fucking floor. He's not a fucking tough dude. And he's a great player, and I love him. But it's like, you got to hit that guy.
He came from a role player.
Yeah.
I mean, he really liked Adele Curry. He was such a role player guy.
Sure was.
You know they were born in the same hospital? LeBron James and Steph Curry, they came from the same hospital.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
In Ohio?
Yeah, because Steph Adele was Curry at the Cavs. Playing with the Cavs.
Wow.
Adele Curry, just journeyman.
If LeBron has to take over, dude, sometimes he disappears. And when they lose, you're like, when was the last time LeBron fucking scored? I think he needs to take over.
Sometimes he goes one-on-one and just kind of pushes into a guy and then throws up a shitty shot. And it's like, what was the point of that?
Well, dude, if you watch old Jordan games, he got every single fucking call. Like, Jordan would go to the line like 25 times in a game. You know, if you look at the last time that Kobe Bryant won a championship was like in 2008 versus the Boston Celtics. Dude, in the second half, the Lakers went to the line 25 times. Celtics went 5 times, dude. I mean, it's like... it's
superstar calls.
Yeah, they're getting fucking... Dude, LeBron doesn't get those calls.
Yeah.
I don't know what I...
He really has stayed such a good, slash role model, slash, like, fucking guy for, like, the thing. But he really does not, like, he's still...
He gets no fucking love.
He's something
doesn't
about,
get a DUI, never smacked up his bitch, never got busted for drugs, never got busted for steroids,
because it's
came
the
back to his hometown,
the
and X he just factor, gets shit on.
The X factor is there's just something fucking unlikable about him. And, you know, as comics, there's people on stage like that, a guy who has to work a little harder because... Even when he's not saying shit that's offensive, the crowds get very like, ugh.
Sam Tripoli, that guy. That guy, I walk up the fucking, I feel the fucking, bang, I can feel
it. Do you really? I mean, a lot of people, Kurt Metzger, man, brilliant comic, but like, his jokes have to be so good, like, and they are, but it's because
he's hated. He's such a goon.
When he gets on stage, like, I think he was like, "What's this guy's fucking deal?"
I did a show with Eleanor Kerrigan and David Deary, and they were so filthy on stage, and I'm like, "Fuck yeah, dude, this is the crowd." And I've learned I can't get excited about that because it's my own thing. And I walk up, and you just feel fucking. You could feel the ice just going. I'm like, and I always talk about because you can feel the energy just go, and I'm like, what just happened here?
Yeah.
It was a fire in here, and I walk out, and it's fucking, is it me? And then I had to work on, and it's a funny story, because I'm working. At some point, I realize, like, I'll get to a point 5 minutes and where I'm like, okay, they don't want this. I'm just going to start dropping fucking hammers, and I can usually get them going, and then that wasn't even going. So I'm like, okay, fuck. This one woman's heckling everybody in the show. I rail on her, talking about how they all look like swingers. This guy, this 70-year-old dude's like, what the fuck did you say? I'm going to kick your ass. I thought it was so funny. I'm laughing. He gets up. He starts walking in front, like, just roaming.
Trying to find the path.
And I'm like, dude, it's. I literally thought we were joking. That I help him find the stairway to the stage. That's how much I thought was a joke. So he walks up, and I'm like, where's security at this point? He walks up to the bottom of the stage. I'm like, come on, dude. And I'm like, this is really funny. He gets staged. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. And I go to look out where the security is. Everyone's got their phones out like this. They just got their phones out. And I'm like, I could be in one or two sides of history here. And I'm not going to be the guy who gets his ass beat by a 70-year-old drunk guy. So I'm like, okay, dude, I don't want to do this. I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you right now. And who bounces this guy? Eleanor grabs this fucking guy and pulls him off fucking stage.
Philly, yo.
Then security shows up and kicks him out. It took a chick. I've had Philly chicks broad. Do bouncing for me more than fucking regular.
Well, you know, I don't know if you followed at all that thing I had at the comic strip in New York where I protected a guy, an older black guy. William Stevenson was hosting the show, and some girl's boyfriend, like 30-year-old guy, jumped up on stage to fight, and no one did anything. I jumped up on stage and threw him out, and then the club owner...
Oh yeah!
Like the club owner was he's like, how dare you defend a guy who calls a woman a cunt and try to stick up for me? Because I wish that guy should have beat the shit out of both of you. I'm like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
I just took all of his texts and put them up on Twitter, and everyone was like, what the fuck? What a lunatic! I'm like, fuck this club, man. Why
don't comedy clubs play? Are weird.
Like, do you really believe a comic at any point should be in danger of getting attacked on? That's fucking insane.
Especially since you're paying it so well.
Yeah, really. It's like, what? That's insane.
Who punches the fucking clown at the birthday party?
His words were, he goes, Ray Romano, Eddie Murphy, and I'm trying to remember the other names he said. Jerry Seinfeld never had to use the word cunt. And I'm like, they never used the word cunt. I'm like, in life?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty bold statement to make, man. Don't you think? Like, you think that's never come out of their mouth ever. Like, what an idiot.
Eddie Murphy used the word faggot on a special and talked about AIDS and how people are going to die from AIDS.
Do you want to know what shut down the entire argument? I mean, I don't work there. I didn't want to work there anymore. It's become a horrible club, the comic strip.
Went in to say this is my last time.
Yeah, I went in to say I went in going, this is my last set, and it ended up happening. And that the reason I think he even came at me was the next day William was like, they fired William Stevenson, the host, for, I guess, quote-unquote, inciting that problem. And he goes, I wouldn't ask any other comics not to work there, but that club really has gone to shit. And I kind of put online, I was like, I'm not working there anymore, dude. I went in before that incident even, was just like, this place bums me out now. There's no reason to really play here. And then the guy fucking came at me. But it was like, so when I stood up for him, that guy started writing all this fucking just insane, like, you should have your ass kicked, all these people that would never say it. But then I go, he goes, women and black, and he's like a born-again religious guy.
Oh,
and he's going, now Richie Tinkin is the owner of the club. He is the manager, he's the owner of the comic strip. And that's the guy that's tweeting me. He was notoriously Eddie Murphy's manager through his, like, heyday years. Like, so... He's one of the guys walking the stage in Raw. He's in the My Girl Wants to Party All the Time video. He's always floating around. But he's an older, decrepit guy now. And he's coming at me, and he goes, you know, it's all that stuff about using those words and how dare you, and a piece of shit like you should never work. By the way, he's almost turning the anger on me. I'm not even the one who called anybody anything.
Right, right.
But he's coming at me, and then what ended the entire thing, he actually had somebody pull down all of his back and forth on social media because I go, hey, while we're worried about upsetting anybody, he goes, you have two gold records hanging on the wall of your lobby, Eddie Murphy's first two albums. One of them has a track that's called Faggots. The second one has a track called Faggots, parentheses, Revisited. And I go, should we take those down? Or are you only worried about offending, like, cunts?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you fucking idiot. And then he didn't even respond to that, and just he pulled all of his shit down. That was kind of the end of it. But it's really, it's like, what an idiotic thing to get behind.
Oh, that's stupid.
He was just mad. He wasn't really thinking. If he had to think it out without having any sort of
emotional
association with it, he'd be like, here's the situation. A comic did this. An audience member did this. He would say, oh, yeah, you got to defend the comedian. You know, he would definitely say that.
As an owner of a place, you don't want to have a fight happen in your place at all.
Yeah. Right.
So the fact that I was able to go, like, quell the problem.
Like, dude, I was looking out for your club.
No shit.
I'm making sure you don't get sued.
Just saved you a lawsuit.
No shit.
What about the time that Tom Segura was in Canada? I forget what club it was. And it was like a big, like, Christmas party. And, like, and the worst is when you have a big party and there's a really shitty heckler in there. Mm-hmm. Because the club doesn't want to kick the party out. They want that fucking money. And the heckler just, it's like this weird kind of thing.
Soder just got really mad at a club. I won't even say the name of the club. He said he won't play anymore because one guy in a big group, heckler, he had to shut him down. It got kind of shitty, and then at the end of the show, the host went up, who is the owner of the club also, and, like, he...
Shit on him?
He didn't shit on Dan, but he took the... He goes, hey, guys, sorry about all that, like, you know, whatever. He goes, we'll get you guys some free tickets, come back to another show. Like, I was, like, babying them, and it's like, no, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take the side of the comic.
They already got their money for tonight. Tell them we kind of want you back. Hey, I got those odds for you.
Oh, what is it? What is it?
They were, before this last game, they were minus 1,600.
Okay.
Up 3-1. Now they're minus 450. Cleveland is 2.5-point favorite to win this next game. But for the series, Golden State's minus 450, which is, when the series started, it was minus 200. After the first game, it was minus 350. So it's better than up 1-0.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a way you can make money. You know, a buddy of mine in Chicago is making a killing because he just bets on every single Cubs game.
Really?
And, dude, they have like maybe 19 losses right now, something like that. Like, so it's like you win 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
All season long.
Are we doing bag of bets on clubs don't win the World Series?
Yeah, oh, but yeah, I don't have the bag. Is the bag here? I think I might not have it here. If it's here, I'll do it. If we want to take 3 calls. I'm taking 3 calls. All 3 of them, I'm taking the Cubs to win the World Series. We're looking right now. We got it.
Let's see if we can do this.
So if we'll take 3 calls.
Let Jay pick out.
Call right now. 3 bags of bets if you want some.
These are the horrible
three,
bets
two, three,
the fans have put in.
2-8-2-7-4-2-4.
I want that action.
You want some of it?
I don't think Cubs winning the World Series.
All right, me and you will take the first one, and I'll take 2 with fans.
All right, let Jay pick it up.
This is me and Ari. Oh, I'm terrified.
Oh, God.
Come here, Polly.
So you say Cubs are going to win the World
Series.
Yes,
sir.
You're saying.
Okay, before he picks, I say we do this barring some weird the day after they lose.
Okay. Unless it's like some weird, you have to do it for a week or something weird like that.
Unless it's like a specific.
Something has to happen live on the show.
Yeah, if you have like the next 5 sets thing, the day after they lose.
I don't know if this is a great one.
Oh, this is an easy one.
Yeah, this is an easy one. Let's toss it. It's so far out of the way. This one says the other two guys get to throw an entire box of Snap Pops at each other's bare chest.
Nah.
Well, we put it in there.
I mean, that's the easiest one I've ever had to pay off.
Yeah.
You're already saying you're going to have to pay it off, huh?
As the guy,
I'm saying if I do, I lose every bet.
As the guy sits here who had to wear a pube beard, I'd be pretty upset about this. Like, I had to wear a pube beard. That's always the worst when one person gets like not a big deal thing.
Dude, I had to watch 36 hours of Whitney. Or 36 right, episodes of Whitney.
I'm in for that
hours.
One. Tear it up. Take it out of the bag. It's too easy.
Too easy. God, now there's shit in here that's too easy.
Go for another
easy?
One?
How are you going to snap on your back?
Oh, you've never done that? It snaps.
It does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't really hurt.
Big Jay, do you want any of this action?
You want some of this action, bro?
You want some action?
On a World Series?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah!
Oh, shit. Okay.
So
who
here
do you
it
want?
Is,
you think they're going to win or not win?
There, wait, Jay, everything we put in there, we all said that we would do if it came to us losing.
Yep. You know, because people tweet like, oh, you got to slap Joe Rogan across the face. We're like, fuck you. None of that shit's in here, but there's some brutal shit in here. So you want to take the field?
I'll take the – yeah, I'll say they don't, they
all
don't
right. win. So we'll do one for me and Ari, and we'll do one for me and Big J. So I'll let you draw for me and Ari.
Me and Ari have to do the same thing if we lose.
Here we go.
And we'll take this call. This will be our third one if they're down. So this is what Ari and I, right? First one?
No, we already did you and me.
No, we threw the Snap Pops out.
We're not including that? I thought we were including
that. No
them.
Way.
Thank God.
And then no longer.
No, we were – I mean, I'll do it if you want that to be our bet.
Hold on,
I thought
dude.
That's our bet, and then we'll just no longer do that one ever again.
Okay.
All right. I'm in. So me and you got Snap Pops.
Snap Pops on the chest?
Hold on, dude. You're on with Punch Drunk. We got to find out what Big J and Tebow are.
Fine.
No. Let's this guy pick first, then we'll get Jay.
Okay, this will be yours, whatever it is. Do you want to make a bet with Tebow, caller?
No, I was actually going to submit a bag of bets idea.
What is it?
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so basically the loser of the bet has to rally in support of the Westboro Baptist Church. And I mean, really go for it. Get signs and everything.
What if they're in, like, Wisconsin? Where we've
no,
got
they don't. They don't. They go around, man. They go around.
Yeah, they go where the issues are.
The issues.
I'm not against it, but I'm not for it.
I mean, hold on. If you have to go with them, you can't gay pride with a gay pride, the Hollywood, West Hollywood gay pride parade.
God, you would get fucking murdered, dude. That
dude,
one might
I
be more dangerous
think
than
it's
the
that
Rogan
interesting.
Thing.
Hey, you're on with Punch Drunk 562. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, guys? How's everything?
We're doing good. Do you want in on the bag of bets or what story?
Oh shit! What's the bag of bets on? What are we betting on?
We're betting
Cubs
whether
the field,
the Cubs the versus World the Series. Field for the World Series. Tebow's taking the Cubs. You can go bag of bets with Tebow.
No, thanks. But I hope Tebow. I hope Tebow loses and has to do some nasty shit.
Okay. So what do you call?
Hey, thank you.
Hey guys, this is Dave. This is the guy that got cheated on the raffle. What's happening? How you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going, cheater? Cheated.
It's all right, man. Everything's cool.
What do you want? What's the story? We're in the middle of a bag of bets.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but did you guys already talk about the Rockhold fight? Him getting knocked out by Bisping, that one eyed bastard.
Yeah, we did, dude. We did. We talked about it last week, buddy.
Oh shit! I'm so sorry, man.
Okay, it's okay. He was enthusiastic.
My
I feel bad.
Get my camera back on, and let's pick out Jay's bag of bets.
Okay.
I'm
so,
holding it.
So we're doing snap. We're doing the snap
we're
pops.
Doing snaps.
Piece of cake.
All right.
We put it in there. We put it in there.
I agree. This
Call
would be a big Jay.
In if you want to get on this bag of bets.
But they got to prove they can do it, too. Let's get Jay's bag right now.
I like Jay. This one. I actually like this one.
Okay.
I'm okay with
okay,
that.
Let's hear
All
it.
Right. Let's hear it.
A 1 week ad for sex in Backpage.com. With your real phone number and winner chooses the pick, or winner chooses the pose, real copy.
Done.
Wow.
I like that. I'll do that. That's funny.
That's a
good one. That's a good one.
I'll do that.
All right.
That's pretty hilarious.
Okay. All right.
That's
so,
pretty good. You're gonna get a lot of calls on that.
That's great.
Especially if you lose, bro.
So we got two.
I'm a bear. I'm a type.
Write them down,
a bear like
you know?
Yep. Okay. Doing it right now.
Dude, nobody's calling in to get this bag of bets.
It's hard against the fans because they're not going to be around.
Oh, wait. Is that the backpage.com? It's like we could make it for women, though.
You can make it for – no, we can make it for whatever we want.
The other guys
get to pick.
The winner gets to pick.
Trannies, men for trannies.
Winner gets to pick, and I'm pretty sure I'm not picking women for you.
Thanks. I would have picked women for you, just so you know.
That's so sweet of you. He says that now. Let those wheels start turning.
There's some good. If anybody wants calling, we got one more for this bag.
We got
of
one
bets.
More. We got one more. Unless you want to shout at the title.
No, I'm
Sam,
good. I've been getting my ass handed to me on these bag.
Look at the
bets.
Field.
You really think Chicago is going to be able to win?
I think they
over
can do
everybody?
It. I do think they can do it. I think they're hot right now. I think they got the perfect combination of hitting and pitching.
They're not even going to make it to the World Series. They're going to get some
crazy.
Major injuries.
Who's going to beat them in four games?
Anybody can beat them four times.
Two people in their division alone.
All right, we got somebody.
Let's see if we got.
Hey, dude, you in with bag of bets? You want to take a bag of bets? You're in?
Yep.
All right.
Where are you calling from?
Where are you calling from? Where's the 203?
Portland.
Chris from Connecticut.
It's Connecticut.
Chris
yeah.
from Connecticut. Chris, you are taking the field versus the Cubs.
Yep.
All right,
All right,
let's see
wait, it. Wait, 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 wait. Before we pick this, if it applies to only comedy, Yeah, gotta go back in.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got. We'll keep it specific for a fan. Now, tweet at us and let us know.
Well, yeah, we gotta know who you are.
Who's
so we
who
can
on this? So we know what's up.
This
so,
is Chris from Connecticut.
Chris from Connecticut, and we'll let Big J get in on this one too. And then if this is something that'll work good for a fan. Uh oh, this one.
Big's long. Nope. Losers has to take the SAT and post the real results. Seems hard to, that seems hard to get happen.
I say you repick.
I'm doing it nicer because I really want to see Sam and Tebow take that SAT.
Okay.
I'd be terrified of that. Okay, so
we'll
make
it
a different one.
Throw it back in.
Every time it gets a good one, they're like, nah.
That doesn't involve death. Repick.
No, it doesn't involve homoerotic fucking embarrassment.
Homocomedic.
That might have been the
homocomedic.
That might have been the only non fucking homocomedic thing in there.
Post-it notes are stuck to themselves. This one might be going back in, just because I can't open it.
You can do it. Believe
it might not
it
have a two sided thing. Let's see what it is.
Game of Thrones. Anybody watching it?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it this week yet.
Get that.
Full anal, dude.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay, well, we don't want that's not bad.
No, I mean, it's for a fan to do. You have to creatively black cock bomb yourself 3 times in 24 hours.
On Twitter, okay.
On Twitter. You got to go on Twitter, and you can't be like,
this?
I lost a bet. You got
to
be like.
The other guy gets to give you the picture that you cock bomb.
I'll send you, like, you'll send me what I have to say, or I'll send you what you have to say. Like, man, I'm thirsty for a fucking purple veiny cock stuffed right down my cake hole.
And then a picture.
And then that's it.
No picture.
No
picture.
Pictures?
Black cock bombs don't have pictures.
Okay. And then you just got hashtag it bag of bets so we could.
Yeah.
No. No, just create it. No, that gives it away. Just do it.
Okay.
Yep. But that, but you have to.
Guy, hey, what's
you have
name?
To send.
Tweet us right now. Are
Chris,
you on Twitter?
Chris, yeah.
Tweet us right now. I'm Chris from Connecticut.
Wait, hold on. What's your Twitter name?
What's your Twitter name?
At Victor vs. Victim.
Act.
What?
Victor vs. Victim?
Victor versus Victim. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't put hashtag bag of bets.
No, but he could
just. Not going to say.
You can DM me that you did it, and then we'll all just retweet the fuck out of it. But
Victor versus Victim. Okay. That's you. With Shooter. Hey, Sony, this dildo's you. You retweet round punches.
My back page ad isn't going to say Jay's looking for hot trannies. By the way, this is for bag of bets. It's just going to say I want hot trannies.
Yeah. Keep it
actually,
simple,
it probably
stupid.
Will say you want not hot tranny.
That's the key.
I can't even get a hot tranny. So, I mean, we're going for me to. So you don't want me to take up any of these offers.
Thanks for calling in, dude. Congrats. You're in.
All right. No problem. Cool.
Bye.
Hey, who's your. Oh, too late. Let me see your video.
I can't see you. Blocked off. I need to be policing everything.
Well, guys, we've got to the end.
I know.
Super excited.
Wait, did we talk about Big J special?
No,
yes, we
didn't. Oh, my God. Why didn't we do that? We did. The first half an hour was all dedicated to him and his special.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, it's getting this Friday, midnight, live from...
Live at
Webster Hall, Comedy Central, midnight. Midnight, right at midnight.
Yep.
Why do they do midnights to release them? Is it what's
Well, mine particularly, they were trying to see if they can get mine to like 10 or 11. I don't know across the board if they do that, but mine's just for content. I wanted to be uncensored too, so I'm okay with that. You know what? I believe it lives on DVR anyway, man, quite honestly. Like that's what happens. No one's going to watch it that night. Yeah. Hopefully there's a bunch of people who do, but, you know, I feel like it's going to come in over the next few days.
For sure. Well, congrats, dude.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for coming out. How long are you in L.A. for?
I leave tomorrow night.
All right. Well, are you going to be at the store tonight?
Yes, indeed.
And then you're doing At Midnight Tomorrow?
At Midnight Tomorrow night. Awesome. But, tonight I'll be at the Comedy Store. You going to be there?
I will be going there. I'm going to check out the roast battle. What time
are
you
there at? Roast battle. That's right. I have an 11:15 spot, but I'm going to go check out some roast battle, too.
Ari, any last words?
Roast battle's pretty fun. No.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Brenton, for taking some pictures and sitting there quietly. I invite you over here, but you just want to do your own thing. Guys, great episode. Guys, check out his special this Friday night, 12:30, Comedy Central. And again, all you Patreon guys, thank you so much for hooking it up. James Booker, I'll go through him, but thank you guys so much, and we appreciate it. Help out Punch Drunk. We got big plans, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening to Punch Drunk. Rate and review if you like the show, please. Bye.
Talk to you.